Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and greetings, brothers and sisters. Peace and greetings, Shabbat Shalom to you out there. Welcome in one more time right here to Culture Freedom Radio Network. Most definitely, we are in this house with you again. Delighted to be here once again. All praise due to the Most High Yah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, sir. Give yourself a round of applause, brothers and sisters. Give yourself a round of applause. Yes, sir. This is, brothers and sisters, tonight we're going to be doing something very different right here tonight on the Culture Freedom Radio Network. Most definitely going to do something a little bit different tonight right here for Culture Freedom Radio. We're going to even open up different and all of that right here for tonight. Let me make sure I'm checking my sound. Make sure everything is clear. Think so. Yes, sir. Let's see. Open my lab. But this here right here, first of all, let me give you the date. Right here on our Hebrew calendar, this is the 21st day of the month for the Hebrew calendar called Abdur on the Hebrew calendar, which is the year 5784 of Adar. So this is the Hebrew calendar. Like I said, it's the 21st of Adar, which is the month of the Hebrew calendar called Abdur. And 5784 on the calendar, but which here on the calendar we use here in America as well. They call it Gregorian calendar, which is March the 1st, 2024. Yes, sir, brothers and sisters. So, I got a couple of things before we get right on to this show and open up. But tonight, right here, we're going to talk about biblical laws and rules of life and spirituality. Yes, sir, indeed. Biblical laws, rules of life, and spirituality. Yes, sir. And let me see here. Okay, I'm trying to read some right fast. Okay. Yeah, 10-4 day. I got you. 10-4. Yes, sir. But like I said, that's what we got right here tonight, brothers. So we're going to talk about biblical laws, and not just biblical laws, but we're going to talk about biblical laws and probably some ancient laws from ancient cultures and just rules of life and spirituality. Yeah, because, you know, things of rules of life, we have to have rules of life, brothers and sisters, because every society has rules. And even in your home, your mother and father, even when you was a child, your mother and your father established rules, laid down laws in their home. And you probably now as a parent, of those who are parents out there, and even if you don't have to be a parent, but you still set down laws in your home, which is your kingdom. But we have to have laws and things, right? And rules of life. If not, we would see a lot of things that we're seeing now, especially here in America. We're seeing a lawless society. Yes, a lawless society. But before I get into that right here, brothers, I want to open up with a couple of things. I want to open up with a prayer. I open up with a Psalms. But I also want to do right here, first and foremost, I got to do this one. Y'all know that the brother, y'all have been listening to Culture Freedom for a long time. My brother Umar Sharif, you know, I used to do promotion for Fars. He used to have, you know, a bookstore, Masjid El Salam, and a bookstore down in Jacksonville, Florida. You know, I used to do, like I said, advertisement. He had lectures and all type of things down there. Great Elder actually gave us one of our awards that Culture Freedom Radio had. We received a certificate of appreciation award from Masjid El Salam back in 2015. Yes, sir, for Culture Freedom Radio Appreciation Award. We greatly do appreciate that. But I have not spoke to the elder in a while, but I was going through YouTube, and he has a YouTube channel and called The Tents of Kedar, and I hadn't been getting the YouTube notifications, but just so happened I seen something where he was over in Ghana. He's in Ghana. And but I was saying something on there, like he was saying, you know, dedication to my wife. And I was like, dedication to his wife. And it's kind of like, so I kept going. I went down on the feed a little bit, and I see a video from about a month ago where he was having a funeral, as they say, funeral for his wife. Yes, his wife, the elder, the queen, made a transition. So he's in Ghana now, so I didn't want to call him, so I just texted him and said my condolences, but I'm just not seeing that. So I think his wife's name was Adela Sharif. So to start this thing off right now, and for my out of respect for the sister, I used to talk to the sister, and she's, you know, the brother said, man, my wife has always asked, what's Sunray? So I want to give my right now, I just want to do a moment of silence for our sister, our elder, you know, and condolence for Right Culture Freedom Radio, because, you know, Brother Umar has, you know, we had an interview with Sister, what was her name? Sister, I can't even think of the name, y'all. I'm trying to get my words out right here. Y'all seeing it? I'm not in high energy like I used to. But we had an interview with, he set all of this up, you know, we had an interview with Dr. Scott Whitaker, our sister. Man, I can't even think of the name. Come on, man. Come on, Aria. You'll get it right in a minute. But y'all know the sister, the elder. I can't even think of her name. Come on now. Why you can't even remember the sister's name, Aria? Man, I want to say it. Can't get it out. But I go ahead. But let's do a moment of silence. And while we're doing a moment of silence, I think of her name, y'all. Let's get a moment of silence for a second. Well, good sister. Adela Sharif. Yes, sir. All praise is due to the Most High, Yah. All praise is all praise. Our deepest condolences, and may her transition been a peaceful transition. And before that, like I said, let's get tell y'all, we got to start off a little bit different tonight. Because one thing is Shabbat. This is our Shabbat day. This is the day that we start right here, Shabbat Eve. Shabbat Eve start at Friday night, what we call Friday night sundown to what they call a Saturday night sundown. So it does start off our Shabbat tonight for all the Hebrew Israelites out there, and Hebrews and Jews, whatnot, you know, whatever, you know, title, side our Shabbat. But I want to start off right here and open up with a prayer. Can I do that for y'all, sisters and brothers? Then I get a Psalms, and we're going to get this thing started tonight right here. First, let's open up with a prayer, brothers and sisters. It says, oh, Yahweh, God of our salvation, save us and gather us together and deliver us from the heathens, so that we may give thanks unto thy holy name and glory to thy praise. Blessed be the holy name of Yahweh, our Elohim, and Israel forever. O Yahweh, thy Elohim, let us not be confounded, and let those who persecute us, and let us not be confounded, and let them be confounded that persecute us, and let us not be confounded. Let our enemies be dismayed, but not let us be dismayed. Bring upon our enemies the day of evil, and destroy them with double destructions. O Yahweh, thy Elohim, forgive our fathers for breaking your laws, and please forgive us for breaking your laws as well, Yahweh. Help us to never bring shame upon thy great name, nor the reproach against thee. For surely we have turned ourselves to thee, O Yahweh, thy Elohim, trying to be upright. And as we confess our faults, please grant us protection against all of our faults. Cleanse us from our secret faults. Guide us the best of morals. For surely our prayers and our sacrifice and our lives and our death are all for thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. And I want to read one more thing right here. Read Psalms 125, if you can, brothers and sisters. It says, hallelujah, hallelujah. They that trust in Yahweh, the Elohim, shall be as Mount Zion. We cannot be removed and abide forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so Yahweh, the Elohim, is round about his people from henceforth ever, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lots of righteousness, lest the righteousness put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Yahweh, the Elohim, unto those that do good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto thou crooked ways, Yahweh the Elohim, lead them forth the workers of iniquity. but peace shall be upon Israel. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. All praise to the Most High Yah. We thank y'all for tuning in, like I said, one more time right here to Liberation Tabernacle of Yah. Well, it is Liberation Tabernacle of Yah, Culture Freedom Radio Network, all of those things right there, Lions Vibe Radio. Just want to get in here. So let's jump into it, brothers and sisters. Just want to get it that in here. But, man, so many things, y'all. It's just kind of like, been hearing some news. That's why I don't know. I guess I'm not in the high energy right now, but I throw something else right here. Right fast. We really got to stay prayed up, brothers and sisters. Really got to stay prayed up and stay grounded. My wife and I went to a restaurant, and we're gonna get into the topic, but I just got to throw this out here. We went to a restaurant yesterday for the first time. I've never been to this restaurant, but went in there. It was, you know, the lady was talking to us, giving out orders, and she was like, well, we're going to be closed next week. You know, we're going to be closed. She kept on saying, we got to get a mental break. Me and my husband, we just got to get away. We got to get a mental break. We just going through so much. And she said they lost 19 friends and associates in 1 week. Let me say it again, y'all. 19 friends and associates in 1 week. She said some of it was due to heart attacks and, you know, other things. But she said there were two people that they knew. One guy committed suicide. It was two people committed suicide. One of them, one of their best friends. And she was saying how the guy, you know, he just bought a new car. They just moved in a new home. It's just like, she was like, man, like he was just everything was fine. Like he was on top of the world. But he, and check this out, y'all, said, but he kept himself. But he left a suicide note and said, the devil won. Said again. She said he left a note and said, the devil won. Yeah, that was his suicide note. So like she was saying, man, you never know what a person is going through. No matter, you know, they could be, you could think they don't got all the finances, they got everything, like, you know, like the what's the young guy named Duvall sing that song, I'm living my best life. You can think they living their best life, but you really don't really know what's actually truly happening mentally and spiritually with some people. Yeah, that was disheartening. She said there's a lady right down in the same shopping center, her dad had killed himself, but she didn't say exactly, he went into detail on that one. But what got me were when she said the guy said the devil won, y'all. Man, Most High have mercy. But yeah, that's what we're gonna be getting into tonight right here, man. Talk about biblical laws and rules of life and spirituality. And I promise y'all, we surely need some spiritual upliftment and spiritual guidance around here, man, with all of this stuff we're seeing. And there's a lot of troublesome people out here, man. I don't know. There's an old gospel song right fast. I got y'all mics over, Brother Dave and Brother Alpha Mill. There's an old gospel song, and I said that. It reminds me, a song says, trouble in my way, I got to cry sometime. Trouble in my way, I got to cry sometime, y'all. I remember that old gospel song my grandmama them used to sing, play all the time. And that's surely a true thing in there, man. Sometimes trouble in our way. Sometimes we just want to cry sometime, man. God have mercy. Yes, sir. But, oh, yeah, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Y'all mics open, brothers and sisters. We're going to get into it. Go ahead. We're going to jump into it tonight. We'll talk about these biblical laws today and how is it impacting us. And today, how can we utilize these biblical laws? And just even how was, even with, look at it, brothers, right fast. When America was established, did they even use some biblical laws with establishing America? Yeah, we're going to look into that too, y'all. Did they? And do rules of life, do we need rules? Do we need these, some laws? Do we need ordinance and statutes in our life? Do we need it? Because y'all, some people say, hey, we don't need no Bible. We don't need no book to tell us what to do. Y'all know, y'all heard the conscious community really say that. We don't need no book to tell us what to do. Okay. But let's get into it, y'all. Shabbat shalom, my brother. Y'all come on in and let's get it on like Soul Train.
Shabbat shalom.
Yes, Shabbat shalom, brother Alpha Male. Yes, sir. Peace to your brother. Yeah. Man, what you think about that one, brother?
Shabbat shalom. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Abruka Tadonai Eloheinu, Malachi Alom. I'm going to get everybody Shabbat shalom. I got to run. I got to go make a run real quick, and I'll be back in about 5 minutes. About five to 10 minutes.
I got you. Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Well, what were you saying, Brother Alpha Male?
I actually didn't.
Oh, okay. That's not you saying something. Well, what did you think about that one, brother, when the brother, though, man, left a note that saying, man, the devil won. That got me, bro.
I'm not laughing because it's funny.
Yes, sir.
I'm laughing because I can relate.
Hmm.
I don't know if physical pain is as bad as mental pain, but there were many days, and I could tell you that something always told me, you know, wouldn't it be nice if you didn't wake up?
Wow.
You know, you wouldn't be in pain no more. But I'm kind of stubborn. But it was constant. It was like, man, I'm telling you, you got to be really strong in your mind. You got to be really attached in your spirit to survive that. And it's in everything. When you at that state, it's in the food you eat, the air you breathe, the sounds you hear. It's just like constant. It's almost like a drone telling you just it'd be better if you don't wake up.
Mm.
You know, and because I told y'all the story about the doctor that looked at me and said, you know, I can see what's wrong with you and I can fix you. And that was probably my last chance.
Wow.
In all honesty. Because I gave up. I said, well, you know, if I don't wake up, but, you know, just me being hard-headed, I'm like, nah, that ain't cool either. I ain't never ran from nothing. And got the surgery, man, and it's been all uphill since then. But that was a 15, it might have been longer than 15 years, but I can relate to that sentiment, you know. So,
yes, sir. Now go ahead, brother. Oh, man, I've been down that road myself, bro.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not far fetched. It's not, you know, science fiction. It's not like, you know, like you would see in a movie where there's this figure, you know, this evil figure. It attacks your spirit.
Yes, sir.
And your spirit's attached to your will. And once your spirit's defeated, you have no will to do anything.
Hmm. Yes, sir. Right. Yeah, I've had those. I had that experience. Well, I didn't try to use a gun to blow my head off or nothing like that. Hey, thank God. But I wanted to get out of here. And I've tried. I ain't going to lie. It was some things that was going on many years ago, y'all. That was before I really got deep into my spiritual self. And I did, man. I just gave up. And I did try to kill myself. I ain't going to lie, y'all. But the Most High didn't, like I said, what they say, man, the elders say, he had a plan for me. It wasn't my time. And I thank the Most High that I didn't, because tell y'all, man, I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing today. So he had, I most definitely know there was a plan for me, because I most definitely tried to. And I said, people say, this is what people say. That's a coward move. Man, it take a coward to kill himself. Nah, that's a, I don't know who the hell said that lie. I don't know who said where that lie came from. I mean, to even put the gun in your head to blow your brains out. But now, you know what I think about it? I said, man, I'd be scared. And sometimes, man, like I said, that spirit was still, it would try to come to you. Like something happened, man, why don't you just go get out of here, man? It'd be, like you said, it'd be better off if you was dead. You know, they don't say that you need to kill yourself. But like you said, right. It might be like, things would be better, man. You were dead. You wouldn't even have to worry about none of that stuff. It's like crazy. I'm like, nah, you got to go on. You get away from here, man. But it's like you said, get behind me, Satan. But I said, I'm scared. I'm scared. I don't know, man. Look, I'm scared of the Most High. You know, you got me messed up, Doc. I really just going to get hit by the truck or something. I ain't going to do that. Because, you know, no, sir. Yeah. But you're right, brother. You'd be like, man, you wouldn't have to worry about this stuff, man. People, you'd be better off, man, you know. Yeah. But, yeah, that's a hard one. That's a hard one now. I came to eat to the Most House. It's time to check out, sorry, y'all. Time to go. Yes, sir. But, man.
It's so strange because now, hindsight is an amazing thing. Because now, at the time, and even after the time, I didn't realize what I was going through. So I didn't say, I can't say I was outright trying to end it.
Yes, sir.
But my behavior changed to where I really didn't care one way or the other. So you know, you're just being risky, you know what I mean? Like,
yes, sir.
I'm the type, I don't start trouble. But in that state, I started a lot of trouble and really didn't care how it turned out and was in it to win it. You know what I mean? Like, yes, just like me going up against a grizzly bear. Wasn't no sweat. Let's get going. You know what I mean? But now that I look back on it, you know what I mean? That was stupid. And it was theoretically suicidal. But I didn't care. It could have been 3 cops, 12 cops, 100 cops. I don't care. Let's do this.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's just a deep thing. And now that I think about it, a lot of our young folks are experiencing the same thing, because if you look at the behaviors, man, they all out. And they don't care, live or die. They just out there. And it makes you think that same spirit's on them for some reason. And I know this is off the topic, but a lot of these kids have been mentally or sexually abused, man. And I don't care what nobody says. A child that's abused never gets right, even into adulthood, you know. So they're out here feeling it. Then that's the difference in the pain that I was feeling and the pain that could, you know, mess your mind up. It's all the same, because that spirit jump on you. You don't care no more. So that spirit keeps saying, man, you better off dead. I might as well go out here and gang back. You know, I might as well get me a pistol and, you know, play stick 'em up. So
that's right.
Yeah, I think this spirit is everywhere.
Yes, sir. But you on topic, brother. I mean, you're not on topic, because number one, it's still in the title, spirituality, and that's a spirit. But anytime we giving, you know, man, we talking about something that can help people anyway. So it's always on topic, because we giving things that help. Because somebody out there going through something right now, they'd be listening to this. So they'd be going through something, and they probably was even though we have a topic, but somebody is meant for us to talk about some of this stuff. Somebody listening, you know, yeah. So we always on topic regardless. So, yeah, so, you know, but man, yeah, this is, but like I said, bro, what's going on out here? Them next day, 1 week, I bet they are spiritual. I mean, they are wrecked. She was like, we got to get away. It was a husband and wife and on the restaurant. So, yeah, I can imagine. Oh, man. I want to read one thing right fast. Could kind of talk about the law for the day again. Because I was looking up something, and I was, you know, because I've always heard, you know, the foundation of America. You know, we say that they say this is a Christian, what they, some of them say, a Judeo-Christian society. So I was even looking up some stuff earlier. What a site typing. I was like, did the Bible impact the laws or something to that degree? American laws. And I looked up something. It said the Bible and American law. And it says the Bible has a significant impact on American law and constitutional tradition. The early colonists who settled in British North America brought with them the English common law, a system of jurisprudence that is leading authority claim is based on Christianity. Now, that's what it says, but this ain't this. I need a whole article. It says the Bible's influence on law face increasing challenges, basically just challenges, and only laws that can be defended on secular grounds have survived in the 21st century. But article I was reading, it was talking about how, yeah,
according
that,
to Oxford Academic, Oxford University
here.
Press,
let me
the
see
Bible
here.
Has had a significant...
Okay, this thing talking, I don't want to talk. Yeah, but it did say that early colonists and stuff, because basically it was saying Christianity, bro, but you know, what did Christianity even stem from out of Judaism? So, yes, there's a lot of, they said a lot of some, like, they say the Mosaic law and things did impact a lot of the foundation of the American laws when they first established here. So, yes, Bible did the impact on how they structured the laws in America. And even when we go way back with that, even biblical laws we talk about, before you had other ancient laws and ancient texts that always been systematic laws, like there's something y'all know. I don't know if y'all know about the laws of Hammurabi, which they date back, man, hundreds of thousands of years, way before there was anything called a Bible, right? It were because, you know, even Abraham just went to a place called Ur of Chaldea, so there were always some similar laws. And I'm trying to find here, have this book that talk about, have a book called Encyclopedia, this illustrated encyclopedia on Bible facts. And this goes into, man, I mean, just everything, talk about laws and statues and stuff. But he was even talking about here, like, you got some laws called the Hittite laws. Right. Is it the Hittite laws assumes that a god was a conquering ruler of the nations? But in the Bible, the relationship between God and Israel is a more of a personal one. Israel is God's treasured possession. But it was just talking about how in the Near East, if you study like what they call Near East, which Asiatic area, in that area outside of Africa, most people would say Asia. They call it the ancient Near East, Mesopotamia, and all that. There was always some kind of laws, and a lot of it plays out even in the Bible, which people, some people won't acknowledge, but even when you get to reading the story of Noah, that's the whole story of Noah, there's an actual story that even predates that one. Someone named they call it Unifistum, an ancient Mesopotamia legend and tradition. So there's a lot of this stuff goes in there, but there always been somewhere some kind of law that we call laws that was established. And a lot of it just plays straight out in the Bible. Like, you know, you always had somewhere a law about murdering, stealing, and killing and things of this nature. But one other thing, right, fast, and they jump in when you get ready. But like, as I'm here, this thing called laws and statutes. But when you get into the Bible, there are several different forms of laws, or maybe we say laws of codes that deal with several different things in far as a society. And you remember now when they talked about Moses, they were getting ready to, and Moses was telling them, well, when you get ready to go into the land of Canaan, and they was establishing, because they was basically, now this is how I basically put it, y'all, this is my words. They were getting ready to establish their constitution, right? Because they was getting ready to go into the land of Canaan, establish their governance, how they were going to govern themselves. So they had different laws such as, you know, you had independent laws or independent responsibility, equality laws. You had like civil laws and let me see. I'm kind of looking at some of the things to keep myself in line here. Pull it up. Holiness laws. You had ceremonial laws. You know, you had deal with stuff with the Order of Covington. You had dietary laws. Quarantine laws. You know, when they was talking about how, like, one thing here, talk about quarantine when a woman here, like the, someone is dead. There were rules when when someone die, that you couldn't, to be impurity, called impurity and stuff like that. You couldn't come in the temple if you had been around dead bodies and type of thing. A woman on a menstrual cycle and, you know, things of that nature. So they even had laws of quarantine. Notice when somebody had, they said, had leprosy at that time, they had to be quarantined. So, like I said, you had civil laws, religious laws, main political laws of political leaders and court systems. So that's why I said something, criminal laws. So this is why I say sometimes when we say we got to get back to the laws of the Torah, we have to be more specific than that. That's general. That's a general term. We got to get back to the laws of the Torah. Basically, like, which ones? What are we talking about? And how do we deal with some of these laws today? Because certain things that that's talked about in the Bible, far as the laws, we don't do them today. We don't do them today. And here's something, for a matter of fact, it's like crimes against a person. And now I'm gonna have to ask this question. Now we said we got to get back to the laws, statutes, and commandments of the Most High, right? Which we talk about laws of the Bible, biblical laws. Now, here's something when it talked about the laws of the law of rape, right? Try to get these glasses out here. Now, would we do this today? Would we do this today? And we got to get back to the laws. Would we be doing this today? Because it's talked about here in the Bible when a woman is raped and her rapist, I'm just read this one here. It says, if a woman was attacked and did not cry out for help, her attacker was not guilty of rape. But if she sought help without being able to get it, and if she was married and betrothed, you know, which is engaged, her husband was to be put to death. Was to be put to death. If an unmarried woman was raped, the attacker had to pay a dowry price. Now, back in the days, it says 50 shekels, which is silver, 50 pieces of silver. In fact, he often had to pay a double dowry to make her more desirable, a desirable bride. The woman might decide to marry her attacker, or her father might decide that the two should get married. Now, let's just stop right there. Now, we say we got to get back to the law, statute, commandments of the Most High. Now, are we saying if someone raped your daughter today, and Lord Most High, please, I hope it don't happen, but we just going here trying to have a discussion. If something like that would happen, would we... tell that damn attacker when they caught him, you're going to have to pay me $100,000. No, hell no. $1,000 or $500, and you're going to marry my daughter. Would we do that today? I know goddamn well I wouldn't. I would be one of them ones, put his ass to death, like he was saying at first, put his ass to death. Whether she cried out or not, I'd put his ass to death.
Yeah. I couldn't get with that one in this day and age. No way.
No. Yeah. Yeah, I can do it. Go ahead, brother.
I want them dead just smacking her bones, you know. So,
yeah.
Nah, that's no.
Yeah. And see, this is why we had to sometimes when we say that and see things like that was in those days. So we thought, well, we got to follow the Bible. Well, yeah, certain things that was in their days. But there are some modifications. And this is what I do peep out with a lot of what we call the Jews in Judaism. Was it rabbinical Judaism or whatnot? They would still talk about the laws, but. Like it said, it was a one portion I had somewhere. I forgot in one of the books I have. And it talks about how it does have to be when your society has changed, you have to change those with your cultural ways of today and still not try to get away from actually to knock what it's saying. But you have to make it relatable to your day and this time. Because I don't know, maybe there is some parts like in Afghanistan or somewhere they probably still do that because they still beat the hell out of them folks, stone folk to death and stuff over there. But we put people in jail today. That's a different system that we have over here. And today they get caught, they put their ass in jail. They do a rape test and rape kit, all that stuff, and they go into jail. We don't do this. So even with that, if we still look at this, the Bible was still speaking, though, of a penalty law for raping someone. So, but that's still a law that we can still point back to the Bible and what was that in the Deuteronomy and show that, like they just Deuteronomy 22, chapter 22, and talking about that. So we still can point to that where the Bible did speak about it and how it's a penalty for raping a woman, but we're not today in our age going to do as it said, exactly how it said they did it, because we don't do that. But we can point, like I said, but we're showing that the Bible said, hey, you do have to penalize somebody for raping someone. That's what we can relate. So that's why I said some things in the Bible, morality laws, property laws, we point to it and look at it, but we can extract it, and we got to make it relatable to our day and our time. Because, like, we look at certain things in the Bible, you'll see when Moses is speaking, hell, he talking to them. But people, like, they act like, you know, like Moses talking right to us. Like, this stuff is really written for us right now in 2024. Like, he was talking, like, law, man, that's their day and time. We don't do a lot of the things that we done back then. So that's why I be technical. And I try to be technical. We say we got to get back to the law, statutes, and commandments. Are you talking about exactly how they did it? Because we don't ride horse and buggies no more. So they was talking about horse and buggies and abuse somebody, donkey, and all of this stuff. We don't ride donkeys no more. Now, we might ride Ford pickup. We buy Ford Mustangs, but we don't ride them actual donkeys, you know. So, you know, so that's But it's, I don't know, but we should have laws, and America does have laws of today. But if you got something out for America, I'm just throwing out some things, because I'm going to get in this couple of things.
Yeah, even though, like you said, it's not, like the penalty has changed, but the fact that it's a crime or it's a sin remains. And
there
will be a penalty.
Yes, sir. Unlike Paul says, we're not under the law. And that see like how America is taking this. We not under the law. That seems like, you know what, I know I'm going somewhere else, but I shouldn't throw politics in here. But it's always relevant. It's like that's what the Democrats are basically doing today with their so-called criminal reform bills. Well, I don't know if you can call them. Their criminal reform thing, as they saying. They're giving out the Paul Doctrine. Hell, you can go rob, loot, steal, kill, and murder. Hell, you ain't under the law no more. So you can do this and you're going to go. Yeah, you might go to jail, but we're going to let you out on bond for free. Do as thou wilt. And that's what they say to be doing, the Paul Doctrine.
Yeah. And you familiar with Aleister Crowley?
Yes, sir.
That was his slogan. But that was...
Yes, sir.
That was letting their... That was more for devil worship. That's how they justify devil worship.
Mm, yep. And that's what they do. Do as you will. As long as it make you feel good, do it.
Yep, and yes, that's sir. and ain't that Satan's job to give you the desires of your flesh?
Hmm. Yes, sir.
And here's the smooth thing. Now, Satan doesn't have the power to force you to do anything. He's just like a little bird in your ear, always trying to influence you to do the things.
Mm-hmm.
So. Then you had to ask yourself, whose fault is it that I did it? You know how people say, well, the devil made me do it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
and I like you to put that because I don't know if you familiar with what the Quran said, but you talking what the Quran says.
What my man always said, there aren't really any original thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much unknown history in a man's DNA. You know, does he truly know from whence he came?
Man, yes, sir. Let me get that Quran while I'm saying it. Yeah, man, let me get that Quran to look at it. Because I be saying it all the time. And I said, but let me get this Quran over here. Because there's a chapter in here. I forget exactly off the top where it is. It's been so long since I read this old Quran here. Man, but it's called The Whisperer. Because what you're saying, bro, like I said, people like, but you said that people say, well, the devil made me do it. But it's like, I ain't make you do nothing. And that's what it says in the Quran. It's like, oh, I didn't make you do nothing. I only suggested. That's why he's called in the Holy Quran, he's called the Whisperer. He only whispers into the heart of man and suggests that you do it. Like I said, and I said this several times.
Shalom.
Yeah, shalom. I'm going to finish this part out right fast, Dave, and I'm going to get it to you. But there's a part in here that says, I'm trying to look for this whisper too, but it talked about it in the Quran. Like I said, it's been so long, I ain't going to be able to find it, y'all, off the top of my head. But it speaks about on the day of judgment. And it talked about, like, even your own body part is going to be a witness.
Surah 14, verse 22.
The Whisperer?
Yes, yeah, Surah 14,
Said 14.
Surah 14, verse 22. You talking about on in the day and the you talking about when Shaitan will say,
go ahead.
Surah 14, verse 22.
Yeah, I got 14, 22. Damn, I had a bookmark too. Damn, I sure did.
There
I had
you
a
go.
Bookmark. Yeah, I'm trying to remember, but. Yeah, and Satan will say, when the matter is decided, if Allah was who gave you a promise of truth to I promise, he said, wait a minute, hello, let me see, make sure that's the right one. I don't know if it's the right one I wanted. But it was on the day of judgment. We were talking about the day of judgment when man stand before the Most High, you know, as the Bible, the Holy Quran says Allah, which still it says God in English, translated God in English. But anyway, it was saying how... on the day of judgment, because he would say all your body parts is going to be a judgment against you. Your arm going to be a witness against you. Your leg, everything is going to be a witness against you. Your own body part is going to be a standing witness against you. But in that, though, but it was saying how You know how we say the devil made me do it, but it's going to, like, we say, well, as here it said, Ha-Shaytan, what the devil made. It said, he going to be called to a witness. Satan, Ha-Shaytan, going to be called to the witness stand. And it says, hey, did you tell him to, like, I always use this analogy, y'all, I don't know why, but did you tell him to snatch that elderly lady purse? And Ha-Shaytan going to say, I didn't tell him that. I didn't tell him to snatch. Well, all the thing I did, I just suggested, hey, man, if you need some money, you said you need some money, right? If I was you, I would snatch that old lady purse. I mean, you know, she got a couple $100 in the purse. That's what I would do if I was you. But you ain't got to do that. He said he only whispered to the heart of man. And that's why I like to say it again in the book of James, said when a man is led, a man is tempted, he don't say that the Most High tempted him, but every man is tempted by his own desire, his own passion, something that you want to do. And it's like, you know, like I said, I talk about the high and lower self. The cartoons always had that, the good angel and the bad angel. And like I said, these whisperers is something that whispers, but it's on you. Like even when in the book of Genesis in chapter 4. The book chapter 4, I like this part. And it's talking about when he was talking about Cain. Now, this is my complete Jewish study Bible. It's going to read different than y'all King James. But it says chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4, what's this verse? Can't get my eyes right tonight, y'all. Ain't got enough light in here. Verse 6 says, and the Most High Yah said to Cain, why are you angry? He says, why so downcast? If you are doing what is good, shouldn't you hold your head high? And if you don't do what is good, sin is crouching at the door. It wants you, but you can rule over it. Now that's great. Now Christians will tell you, that might be a different subject, but Christians always tell you, ain't nothing you can do. You know, we all born sinners and nothing you can do, but you got to wait on the blood of Christ. Like, that's a whole different subject, y'all. I want to get into that. But it's, ain't nothing you can do. But wait a minute. But the book of Genesis says that sin crouches at the door and it wait on you, but you can rule over it, though. You have the desire. I mean, you have the control, whether you open, like I said, it's sitting there at the door waiting on an opportunity for you to let it in. It's on you to let it in. So that's what I like about it. That's Genesis, man, chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. But that's what I like, that you, it's on you. Everything is on you. But yes, sir. But go ahead, David. We get jump into some of these other law, and I'm going to some things, the law of the stranger, all type of stuff tonight. We're going to get into some of this stuff tonight.
Oh, shalom, shalom, shalom. So, something that you were talking about earlier, you were talking about somebody you had was in a restaurant and a lady told you a story about somebody, you say, killing themselves?
Well, they said that, in 1 week, at least 19 friends or associates or maybe people they knew died in 1 week. But they said two people died of suicide. It was one person who, it was another restaurant owner right down the walk. Her father killed himself. They didn't go into detail, but it was one of their close friends. Like I said, man, she said him and his girl just got a new house. He just bought a brand new car. I mean, he's like, man, everything. He was on top of the world. Every time when you see him, he would just smiling, just happy as can be. But when he left, the suicide note said, "The devil won." That's the note they found when he killed himself. The devil won.
Now, that's something that, you know, when you said that, and I heard you say that, you know, as far as like earlier about, you know, the guy being on top of the world and how he killed himself, you know, even though he was happy all the time. So now, there's something that, you know, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17:9. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now, the prophet Jeremiah at that time was talking to a lot of the people who was around him at that time that was just out there, some of the leaders who was just into wrong shit. Now, when we're looking at money, and especially, you know, when it comes time for money, and it look, and you know, especially with people who, you know, got a lot and got everything, a lot of times they ain't happy. I would ask them in there, you know, there used to be a time when I wanted a lot of money, you know, and I used to say it on the show all the time. I don't know, back in the day, you know, Maury, you remember I was going through some rough patches financially, and I would say it all the time. I want some money, man. I want to be on top of the world, you know. Tired of this broke shit, you know. And I'm going to tell you something. That, you know, me being in that salon industry, barbering industry, I've had times where I've, like, the shop that I work at now, I've been at this shop for 5 years. At my shop that I work at. Now, I quit my shop, you know, that I've been at for over 5 years, you know, one-man shop by myself. I work for kind of like assisted living type facility, cutting hair, you know, for, you know, people who are, you know, I just said, who are down and out. Now, this shop that I work at, I'm talking about, was slow as hell. But I stayed in there. It made me enough money to take care of myself, pay my bills, stuff like that. Now, my third year there, and I had quit. And I quit because, you know, COVID-19, they came in, and, you know, for the barbering industry and the salon industry, COVID really fucked us up. Excuse my language. I know it's on the Shabbat, but I'm just going to tell you, it fucked up barbers and cosmetologists. So what I ended up doing, I ended up getting another job that paid a lot of damn money, but I worked around other people in the salon. In the salon, a high-end salon. And I did not, even though I made good money, I'm talking about my checks was good. I would make like $2,000 every like 2 weeks. Got paid more than shop that I was working at before that I quit. Man, I'm saying I was unhappy, but I would tell you something. People I was working around was a bunch of Filipinos, bunch of damn Asians that did not like my ass for shit. And I'm going to tell you something. I was unhappy like hell. I ended up getting fired from that job, but 2 weeks before I got fired, Dad asked me back that I want to go back to the shop that I was at, the company. They said, we'll pay you double. And I'm like, well, shit. I can work 2 days a week. So I was planning on working there, you know, and then I'll go to the other shop, you know, and I ain't let them know that that's what I was doing. But I ended up doing that, playing both sides of the field. I'm glad I did, because they fired me from that good-paying job that I was feeling, you know, real. The money was good, but I was just fucking unhappy. I'm talking about literally, like mentally, I couldn't stand the fucking people. I had like nothing. So even though I went back to the old shop that I worked at before that didn't really make me too much money at this assisted living facility, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I felt happy. Though I don't make too much money, I felt at peace. Everybody know me, you know, and I'm going to tell you something. That's one thing I'm going to tell you with, especially with Black American men's health, and I don't think we talk about this too much, about Black men's mental health. But that's something that we have to talk about. You know, I don't give a damn. I know a lot of brothers and sisters gonna say that's the, you know, European terminology, psychology and all that, which it is. But to hear that about the brother, you saying the sister will tell you, God, smiled every day, had good money, built a nice house. I'm gonna tell you something, man. Money ain't for everybody. You know, something I'm gonna add in here. With this,
we're gonna throw that in, and then we want to jump back onto the law because we got a lot of get back into the law. But yeah, go ahead. We want to jump back to that.
But I'm just saying, you know, the money, you know, is good and all, but it ain't all that good, you know. And King Solomon had an issue with that. He had an issue with that. And King Saul, I want to tell y'all something. King Saul in the book of 1 Samuel actually killed himself also. When he lost his battle against the Philistines, he actually killed himself. I said, man, that's something that a lot of people don't really talk about, but that's something that I feel like you ought to talk about. A lot of people should. So, yeah, suicide is especially very high. In the state of Virginia, suicide is very high.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just throw out something like, say, that was good because that's on the spiritual level, because you didn't get to. But we got so many things. We talk about biblical laws and rules of life because we're living now in an unruly or a lawless society, as Paul teach. And even here, I want to go with something here. Honor and respect your elders, which the Torah teach. And I know we are older brothers, and we grew up when we were trained and taught this thing to respect your elders. You know, even when I was out there acting a fool in the street, and we were doing stuff we had no business, but we seen our elders. You calm down. Hey, they go Miss Jones. They go Miss Jones. They go Mr. So-and-so. Chill out. Hey, Mr. So-and-so, how you doing? Even though we acting a fool, well, they see you doing this. Hey, boy, I see y'all. Y'all better cut that out. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Nowadays, boy, F you mother something. So, man, they could go off on the elders. But here's something we see in that we are taught in the Torah. Here's something I'll just read, and I'm going to give you this. It says, one of the ways, I'm just reading things. I got my book right here. It's a book called Torah for Dummies. You know, like they had all them this for Dummies, Windows 98 for Dummies, all that. They got a good one. It's called Torah for Dummies. They go and break a lot of stuff down in here, different laws and type of stuff. And this one here, just respect for your elders. It talked about something. It says, whether it's your parents or an elderly person or a wise person, honoring them means displaying respect and kindness to them, according to the Torah. One of the ways to show honor and respect is to stand up. When an elderly or a wise person enters a room, and surely when he or she approaches you, the Torah urges you to rise out of honor. As the Torah says, now I'm going to read my complete Jewish study Bible, how it reads it and write it. It says, this is the book coming out of the book of Leviticus 19 and 32. It says, stand up in the presence of a person with gray hair. Show respect for the old. You are to fear Yahweh the Elohim. But it says, stand up in the presence. Now, this one says a person with gray hair. Now, there's another version that says, before an old person, you shall rise and you shall honor the face of the elderly. Now, I've seen, like, on some Shabbat classes, I see a lot of it with, like, some, like, especially the House of Israel and Atlanta. I see them sometime when they have it. And just like the House of Israel, that congregation, when the elders come in, I don't care what they're doing, how they be, whatever they going over, the more they could be teaching, the elder come in. It's everybody stand for the elder. Everybody stand for the elder. And everybody stand for the elders when the elders enter the room. That is one of the laws in the Torah. You know, like, I used to hear in the conscious community in certain lectures or something before certain people talk, they said, I've heard Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, may the peace be upon his soul, and several others ask the elders, do I have permission to speak? Do I have permission to speak? Like, say, yeah. And then they start their, you know, they lecture and everything. But that's in the Torah. That's an age-old thing with respecting our elders, which seem to be now a thing, seem to be lost now. But go ahead, your brother got something on that one?
No, I was just agreeing with you. It did used to be that way.
Yes, sir.
You know.
Yes, sir.
And it got a little confusing later because they confuse respect with obeying the elders.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a respectful way to be disagreeable. But somehow that went away.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I think and I hate to tie everything to this, but
yes,
I think
sir.
It
yeah.
went away with this pedophile and homophile spirit. Because I just noticed that it changed during the time when all this became fashionable. Because there was a time, man, they were out there. They were just out there. They weren't, you know, flying flags, you know, fighting for rights to bed your children and all that. And, you know, you could respectfully avoid them, you know, without, you know, just, you know, being all crazy, you know, no, sir. You know, my father said, nope, nope. My mother said, nope, nope, you know. And, but when they started abducting children and this sex trafficking became a thing, you know, they changed it to where, you know, you need to listen to your elders and do what they say. And that wasn't cool. So they changed the definition of it, which I think that's part of why it got lost.
And Brother Alpha Male, you must have been reading this book, Alpha Male, because I'm going to tell you what because this chapter that's talking about, I didn't read that part because I'm trying to cut the a little bit short for y'all, everybody can get in. But in this part, it started off in this chapter that was talking about honor and respect. It ain't really chapters, it's just small sections. But it talked about that. It was talking about the original Hebrew word here. It says, does not mean to obey. It does not mean obey. It honor just means honor, but does not mean obey. It says, as an adult, you aren't obligated to obey your parents. For example, if your parents tell you to do something that's wrong, you certainly do not have to obey it. Whether it's your parents or elderly person or a wise person, honoring them mean displaying respect and kindness to them according to the Torah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why I said you've been reading this book, Alpha Man. You ain't tell nobody. Yes, sir. See, you're right on point. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Right on point. Wow. See that? All praise to the Most High. See that? With the spirit. What Curtis Mayfield said, when the spirit hits you, you got to move. See, that's it. You're right on the track. Yes.
Hey,
yes, sir.
And you know what? I'm glad you said that, Alpha Male, because even when we do talk about respecting the elders, you have a whole bunch of them dumbasses that walk around and say, well, I'm an elder. You hear and I hear, especially the conscious community, and I'm glad you brought that up with Khalid Muhammad. When you hear the word elder, elder doesn't mean just because your ass is old. You know, at one point, elder, like even when you are looking into the scriptures, Tutankhamun, you know, in Egypt. He was an elder and he was young. You know, when we're looking into Islam, Amir ibn Salamis, he was an elder, but he was young. You know,
mm-hmm.
Well, you had King David. He was young when he slew Goliath, but he was still considered an elder and a king. So that's the issue also when we're also looking at the word elder, because you get people that take that word and what they do is, oh, I'm an elder, and it's like, what the hell? You could be an old fat drunk with a 40 in his hand. Oh, you got to respect your elders. I'm like, well, what if the old nigga is disrespectful as hell? And like Alpha Male was saying, what if he a damn pedo? You know, what we still supposed to respect his ass? You know, that's the issue. That's why I say I hate throwing the word elder around to it. Even though the Torah says that about, you know, being respectful to your elders, you know, not everybody that's old should be is considered an elder. You know,
well, according to Torah, like I just read, because I'm gonna read this first. I don't know what what you call definition is. Well, let me see. I don't know which version this is. I'm just reading out of this book. Then I'm gonna go back to my I'm gonna get the stone tonight. I'm gonna get the stone tonight and get this out of here. Because what they're saying, like you're saying now, the definition of elder now, basically somehow we're kind of using it, is different. Because like even here in this thing says, when it said respect your elders, now it says when it was talking about just breaking it down in a different, I mean, as far as the definition, it was saying, it says whether your parents are elderly or a wise person. Now, I think that's how sometimes they may be using sometimes elderly as a person with knowledge. Because I think I've heard this years ago, not just an older person, but someone who's wise and you know, and knowledge. But as we look at Torah, it says that the Torah says, before an old person shall you rise, and you shall honor the face of an elder. So what would be the definition? So basically the Torah was saying that an older person or a person of age, like one of the other things, say a person with gray hair. Now, hell, some people got gray hair and hell in their 20s. It wasn't talking about that, though. It was basically talking about the older person, you know, someone up in age. you know, of age. You know, we know what elder, you know, what an elder, what it was actually talking about the toilet. I'm trying to find it in the stone right fast. See how the stone, see how they translate it.
But see, this is, I got my stone to knock right here, right in front of me.
Yeah,
but
I'm trying to see how they
my answer. Thing is, you know, is when we're looking at that word elder, it don't mean, like, for instance, Brother Polite could be an elder to somebody that's young as hell. But Brother Polite, you know, he ain't right in here.
But see,
you know,
that goes again. They was, why would they, okay, here it, I ain't mean to cut you, Shalaki. Why would they call, now, despite his antics or whatever, why would they been calling Polite an elder?
Because
of wisdom. Because
yeah,
he was a teacher.
Yeah.
They was calling him an elder because of his like they called Booker T. Coleman. Well, I forget his other name. Forgive me, Booker T. I forgot your other name, what they call you. Him. There you go. Professor James Small. Remember when these are teachers, these are elders in the community who give what? Knowledge, wisdom and knowledge. That's why they're being called elders because, like this book was saying, even an older person or a wise person. Not just because you old, if you with wisdom. Like I said, I've heard this in the country community before. They, you know, how they was saying they used the word elder. But the stone says, in the presence of an old person, you shall rise and you shall honor the present. See, here it goes. Now, it's a difference. It's two things here, according to the stone. So it says and. So it's talking about the older person and a wise person. Because it says, in the presence of an old person, you shall rise, and you shall honor the presence of a sage. According to here, and it says, and you shall reverence your Most High Elohim. They have a footnote. Do they have a footnote in here? 32. Yeah, okay, here's a footnote. I guess this from, you know, Rashi, according to the Rashi. It says, in the presence of an old person, according to Rashi, following the verse, okay, it says, two halves of the verse explain one another, meaning that the commandment is to rise and to honor a sage who is both elderly and righteous. It says, other hold that these are two separate commandments, to rise for and honor anyone over the age of 70, and even if he is not learned, and to rise for the honor of a sage, even if he is young. So there you go again. So some say, yeah, you see what it is? It said, so I guess it depends on how you translate that and look at that, too. That was the stone edition to knock.
Yeah, because that's interesting because, like, my folks from down south, they would just say you had an old soul.
Mm.
Instead of saying that, you know, you were wiser than most, they would just say you had an old soul.
Yep, so do.
I've heard that before, and that's why I brought up, you know, Amir Ibn Salamis and Tutank Amin and, you know, some of the younger, you know, kings, especially in history, you know, Joash was another one. Josiah in the Bible was another young king. I mean, a lot of the young people, you can have knowledge, and you can be considered, you know, like I said, like you were saying, old soul. But when we're looking at, you know, even back then, you know, you look at the kids now versus back then. You know, go look at some of the stuff like back in the day. What would happen if a guy was 18? His ass was out the damn house with a job, military or either government or shipyard. That's what they used to do. You know. We look at the movie Baby Boy. That's pretty much the lifestyle of every young nigga around here now. So, you know, the mental growth nowadays, especially of black men, is different. So that's why I say, you know, you could be any kind of nigga, like young Pharaoh. He was just a young nigga, a GD, running his mouth on the street on YouTube. And his ass was all of a sudden he gained a couple followers. All of a sudden he was an elder. You know, that's something that, you know, we have to really look at, be careful on, is what I'm saying, you know, is the mental growth of somebody back in the day versus the mental growth of somebody now. Man, that shit's all screwed up. You know, it's
but,
all
but that's why I said, Dave, you think about this community, which I've heard them explain it many years ago. You could, they, despite their demeanor, we look at the other shenanigans. That's why I said, again, like certain things in this community, a lot of them are respected for the knowledge. They start, I might call them the elder because of the knowledge that they're displaying or teaching. That's why they're being called elders. And I said, not just because of wisdom, you know. That's why I'm saying, even on this community, like we have to, because like it's one thing how we use it in the Israelite tradition, and one thing how somebody else might be using it in their tradition, and then how they use it on the street. So we have to find out how are people using these terminologies. That's the difference. Because that's why I'm saying the Torah says this way. So our thing is different than what they using in the conscious community, whatever. You see what I mean? Because different traditions have different things. Even if it be same damn word, but it's, we got to find out exactly how they're using it. Because like you, they talk about law. They say the law of Ma'at. Okay, that's different from what we say, the law of the Torah. It's how you're using these like words or principles. And sometimes we argue with each other over shit about, like, say, okay, well, what do y'all mean? What do you, so, you know, and believe it that way, you know, it's, I don't know, bro. It's word terminology. So, oh, man, this was another one, a couple of things. I want the law of the stranger. Now, this is, was a real, I was going to do, I supposed to be doing a video on it, but I got to make sure I got, but it's all my ducks in a row and everything lined up exactly how I want to do this one. Because we really having right now in America the law of the stranger. And especially for us, a so-called, I don't know what we're going to say, I don't know how to say it, African-Americans, Black American. But this one for us, and I'm going to show you how right here, because dealing with the Torah, it's talking about how you have to be kind and welcoming to a stranger. Now, what we're talking about here, because Israelites were taught in the Torah, how, let me just read this right here. Now, this one's going to say Jewish. I'll replace it with Israel, Israelite. It says, one of the most important Israelite values has to do with being fair, kind, and welcoming to strangers. The Israelite people know that from hard experience that being a stranger in a strange land can be difficult and precarious situation. Jews have, or Israelites have, been in such a situation countless times. Now, you can replace this, talk about Israelites of old, and replace this with us, or our ancestors coming to the shores of America. And I tell you why, I'm going to show you why in a minute. It says, beginning with slavery in ancient Egypt and continuing through the centuries in exile from the promised land, several verses in the Torah stresses the value of sensitivity to strangers. Now, why I say that again, because you think about, now we talk about the Bible talking about being in a strange land, you know, talk about what they say, they talk about Egypt. Now, we know people do say America is a, the modern Egypt, whatnot, or symbolically as Egypt. And so we know how it felt, our ancestors coming through here, being in slavery, and knowing how it felt to be in captivity in here. So the Torah even goes in the book of Exodus 22 and says, the stranger you shall not taunt or oppress, because you were a stranger in the land of Egypt. It says, you shall love the stranger because you was a stranger in the land of Egypt. And it just goes out to talk about how we're supposed to be as Israel. We're not supposed to treat strangers harsh. It's a commandment. Not supposed to be dogging, you know, racially dogging them out and mistreating other people from foreign land, because we should know how it felt as being a stranger, or, you know, being oppressed and other. We're not supposed to, like, you know, say like the Mexicans coming over here, all them people coming over here. It says we're not supposed to dog them out, mistreat them, because we ought to know how it felt, especially here in America, when our people, ancestors, was going through hardship and bull crap, and still is right here in America. So we said we're not supposed to be, especially I'm talking about the Israelites here in America, claiming to be Israelites, and you're not supposed to be trying to dog them out and treat them no kind of way, because you know how that stuff felt right here in America and the shores of North America. Because we know they are being part. That's why I say I don't have a hatred towards them that's coming over here, because I understand a lot of them, they want a better way of life. But at the same time, I know I blame the damn government, because they are the ones that's bringing the people over here. And some of them, you know, not all of them, some people been coming anyway. But they are using them people as pawns for a shrewd game. So I can't be mad at them. What the hell I'm mad at them for? It's just the way that the government doing it is the problem. But I can't be mad at them for wanting to have a better way of life. Hell, who am I to judge? But it's a way that we shouldn't be trying to dog them out according to Torah. That's what we're saying, we Torah observance. You can't do that. Then you violate Torah. You can't say, I follow Torah, I follow Torah. Then you have a hatred for them people. See, then it's a different story. You're not following Torah like we say we follow Torah, because you're commanded not to do that.
Can I add something to that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Now, Tetmos, he lives in New York. Now, that's what I was trying to explain to other people, because, you know, when I speak about the immigrant problem, I tell them they can only see it from one point of view. But here's what's going on the flip side.
Yes, sir.
You got these sharks out there that's got 50 Haitians living in the basement of their store, charging them $2,700 up front and whatever the rent is. Yeah. So it's basically turning into human trafficking. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yes, sir.
So, yeah, so I'll be trying to explain to them, see, you sometimes you can't be nearsighted. You got to be able to see, like, down the road what's going on. Because I knew that was an issue here. Because we have people from Egypt and India and stuff like that. And, I mean, it's 40, 50, 60 people in the house, and then you find out that there's only one owner, and the rest of them are basically, you know, like serfs, you know. And, yeah, so that's a major issue. And that's the part of it that bothers me, man. And when I say, well, you know, if they could get here through the proper channels, then it would be better for them.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, so, like, when I try to explain that to people, they can't see that far.
Yeah.
And if,
now,
like
you on that one, bro.
And like you said, if we wanted to be kind to the stranger, the first thing I would do is to try to find a proper way to get them here and protect them at the same time.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Don't just dump them on us, because you're creating chaos. And then you already have a group of people that have been here forever that you've never shown kindness to. And you know what I mean? It's only natural to say, hey, hold up now. I've been in line for 400
yeah.
years, and now you button in, like, yo, you know, nothing personal. This is business,
yep.
Right, man.
That's what it is, bro. You're right. That's how I just, like, it just had to be done. It's just, I blame the government. Like, I blame the devil, which is the government. I blame the devil. Yeah, I blame him for this stuff. Because, like I said, You had Trump was telling them, no, don't shut the damn door. Put that gate up there. Don't shut that damn door. Like grandmama said, shut that door. So, but is it, like you said, we want the people to come here to work. We want them. We don't mind that. But they got, like I said, they have to do it the right way. Cause like he even said, hey, man, you got black, like you were just saying, that, bro, we got black people, man. Hey, y'all already have it talking about lack of resources. So they coming in y'all neighborhood and going to take the little bit y'all got. So, no, we need to do it the right way. That's true. But and, Dave, I think that's the story you sent me last night, Dave. I didn't get a chance to play. When you was showing that they, them brothers was living in the basement of a furniture store.
Can you play that for me?
I'm gonna find it again. That's the one you had sent. I mean, that's the Senate. My bad. Improper English, ain't it? That's the thing. Let me see if I find it. Dig it up. Yeah, I remember you sent that last night. Find it right fast, Dave. I got it somewhere. Yeah, man. Yeah, they got them guys sending that doggone. I got it somewhere, Dave. But that's good. While I'm finding, go ahead. Dave, what was that in New York, Dave?
You remember where that was, Dave?
Yeah, you sent it to me because you remember you was sending me some clips, some short clips. And I said, you can find a shorter one. Oh, damn, that's 14 minutes. That's not the one. Yeah, you sent it to me last night.
Yeah. I sure do remember sending you. Matter of fact, let me find it. It wasn't last night. It was,
It wasn't last night.
I see. It was
40. I got it.
It was the, migrants gets luxury apartments.
Yeah, I got it. I'm going to just commercial play right fast.
It was 15 minutes. Yeah,
you sent me a shorter one because I was like, so I can't play the whole 15 minutes.
Oh, you talking about the 40 migrants sleeping in New York City?
Yeah, I got it right here.
In the basement? Yeah, they were Senegalese.
Yeah, here you go right here. Let me play it right fast. It's 2 minutes. Let me play it.
Tight quarters in the basement of a furniture store in South Richmond Hill, Queens. Cell phone video shows beds and migrants, all of them from Africa, squeezed into this room, two to a bed. Migrants sleeping in shifts, only two bathrooms. Ibusar runs the furniture store upstairs and says he's the man behind all of this.
When they started coming to me, telling me their stories, I started helping them. I didn't want to do it, you know. I thought about it twice.
Once the city started enforcing a 30-day limit for single migrant adults staying at city-run shelters, Sar says the men were forced to sleep on the streets. And why was this better than a shelter?
Because here you don't have problem to go for your work like that. In the shelter, sometimes every month you go back to Manhattan to write your name and he send you another place.
Sar says the basement shelter had rules, no cooking on site.
Two in the top, two in the bottom, queen bunk beds.
He says he didn't charge the men rent, but he collected whatever they could come up with each month.
It broke my heart. I'm proud of them. They're all hardworking people.
But it didn't take long for the next door neighbor to notice what was going on. She asked that we not show her face on camera.
One morning I came out here to go to work. I see about 20 e-bikes. And I got pictures of them.
The neighbor believes this unsanctioned migrant shelter was running for at least 2 months. She called 311 to report what she was seeing.
I just couldn't do it no more. All night long, people running in and out that building, that door slammed. I have not got a wink of sleep.
DOB inspectors discovered that migrants were also sleeping in the furniture store. They said the basement had no natural light and no ventilation. After noticing the severe overcrowding and dangerous fire trap conditions, the city ordered everyone out.
Where did you sleep last night?
In the sewer. Yeah.
So you didn't get any sleep. It's very hard to sleep.
Yeah, you see.
Thanks for watching. Stay updated.
Damn. Yes, sir. That's the same one, Brother Alpha Male.
I think so. And, yeah, and then
that's in New York.
Yeah, and then during the investigation,
I saw that.
They found out he had a second store.
Damn.
Yeah, wow. That was it. And you know, something that I will say too, when it comes time for a lot of, especially a lot of Africans down here, a lot of them, are, especially when you talk about illegals. I know when I was practicing Sunni Islam, and I said this before on the show, a lot of Moroccans get over here, right? And they use a lot, like, okay, when you're looking at the Moors, the Moor side, to always hear about them talking about, you know, we're sovereign and all that shit. Now, a lot of Moroccans, they actually use a lot of that stuff when it comes time for the laws and being sovereign and stuff. And a lot of them are illegals, too. A lot of people don't know that, but a lot of Northern Africans are over here illegal, especially the Somalians. They do a lot of that, I'm sovereign, and you just don't hear it like you hear the dumb Negro who then just got out of jail with a damn red bucket on top of his head talking all this stuff.
Damn red bucket. Damn.
But a lot of Somalians and Northern Africans, they're known for doing that. And when I was practicing Sunni Islam, they used to hold council meetings where you couldn't go in. You could not go in, and they was known for doing that shit. I'm being serious. They was known for it. Like, they would have council meetings. They would be over here, different identities and everything. Fake driver's license. I'm talking about driving cabs and shit. Owning businesses under different aliases and stuff. And that's something that they don't talk about. They talk about the dark-skinned people doing this shit. They might talk about Mexicans doing it, but they don't talk about the Northern Africans that do it. They don't. So, yeah, that's real big, especially in Virginia, you know. Damn. Yeah.
Yeah, he goes now, go ahead, Brother Alman, you go ahead first.
Yeah, so we were talking about how some of the laws, like they in some way still pertain to the way we live today, and some portions of it don't. Because when the stranger is used as a weapon, it's kind of difficult to be kind to the stranger.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned that, because here's something I was just meant to read. So I'm glad that you went ahead with that first. Because now, again, when we're reading a lot of this from the Torah, people have to understand you're reading a conversation or a dialogue actually that Moses was having with the people in that day and that time. That's most key. That's why when you talk about biblical hermeneutics, it's like biblical hermeneutics is who's the author, who was his audience, and what was going on at that time. That's biblical hermeneutics when you get into biblical hermeneutics, learning that. But here's something like, cause what I'm saying is, Moses was talking right here, was speaking to the children of Israel and giving them this instruction. Now, this is Leviticus 19, I think I already read something, 19 and 33. Now, this is, again, my complete Jewish study Bible and how it read it. It says, if a foreigner stays with you in your land, do not do him harm. Rather, treat the foreigner staying with you like a native born amongst you. You are to love him as yourself, for you were a foreigner in the land of Egypt. It says, I am Yahuwah the Elohim. Now, again, this is Moses. It's he talking to us in 2024 here in America. This was Moses talking to the children of Israel when they was getting ready to go into the land of Canaan, establish their nation, said government, and were just telling them, when these foreigners come in your land, do not mistreat them. So notice he's saying in your land, yo, don't mistreat them. You're supposed to treat them. That's why I got to finish off. You're supposed to treat them like they are a native born Israelite, like they were born in your nation. That's why, because like I said, that's why I'm supposed to be doing something on this, but I got to get everything lined up. Sometime I'll be doing this, but I got to be spiritually right and do it when the spirit will get me. But a lot of Israelites teach this, talking about the Most High don't care nothing about these other nations and all of this type of stuff. He can't say this here. That ain't what Torah says. And I was, the brother was saying, no, he don't care nothing about them. We a lot of these laws just pertaining to us and us only. Well, when they really, I don't know what the hell they be reading. Excuse my language, I don't know what they be reading. Because a lot of this here, when you get into the law of the stranger, that's what it's called, the law of the stranger. It tells you, when these people are in your land, like they, I hate to use this analogy, but when they, like they say, when you're in Rome, you do as the Romans do. Basically, when you was in the land, when the foreigners or strangers were in the land of Egypt, living in the land of Egypt, they said whether they are living with you, staying in your house, or living in that land, a visit, they had to do as you did, whether it's Passover, all of that stuff. And they had to do all of those same things, abide by the rules of your land, your government. They had to do that.
Correct. Yep.
That's what they did. They had to. There was a lot, like we, like in America, they make us abide whether we like America or not. They're going to try to make your ass abide by the laws in America. That's how it was in the land of Israel. No different. No different. So that's why I was telling you, don't treat them. Now, unless they, like you said, Abigail, unless they doing something wrong in your land, now you punish they tell. But if they're being respectful to you, this is what Torah always teaches about respect. But if they're being respectful to you, that's why I was telling them, though, you know how it felt being in captivity, and you know how that felt. So don't do nobody else wrong because you don't like how it felt when it happened to you. That's basically what this is. That's how you can actually take that right there. You didn't like how it felt when somebody did you like that. So don't you go doing other people wrong. So that's why I tell people, learn the principles of the story, whether you believe it or not, whether it actually happened. Hell, learn the principle behind the story. What do you say, the moral of the story? But yes, sir.
What did Malcolm say? He said, if a man respects you, you respect him.
Yep.
But I forget the rest of the quote, but he said something about if he attacks you.
Yeah,
I forget how it goes.
But if you hit me, I'm going to send you to the cemetery.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, yeah. Yes, sir. I will send you to the cemetery. And that's a police tactic. Hell, if you attack a police with your fist, they might just use their nightstick. But you got a weapon, a knife or anything, they say they can go one. It's like they go one up on you. If you got a knife, they going to shoot you.
Yep.
You got to go one up on you.
And you know what? They're afraid to do this shit nowadays because dudes got more shit than what the police got.
Yes,
like you were selling justice the other night about.
I got
justice say you need a clock or something, and you're saying, telling justice, they got damn guns bigger than that shit now. You know, that's how it is here in VA. Like, they can't get that, them little clocks. I've been seeing guys walk around with them little-ass clocks like Justice was talking about the other night. And I'm going to tell you something, man. That shit, man. I look at guys, I'm like, what the hell? Like, what you going to do? I'll be up in Wawa and you know, give me some gas and give me something to drink. I always see a nigga walk around with a damn little-ass, I don't know what it's like, a little-ass pistol. And that's how you know somebody is like actually got a concealed carry because they'll like Justice was talking about they'll walk around with a little ass purse.
Oh, yeah.
or one of them little book bags. And I'm going to tell you something, like you were saying with police, they got one up front. You know, these police ain't got to worry about shooting nobody no more with them little guns. These guys, I'm talking about the younger cats, the ones that you see with the skinny jeans and the shades, you know, acting like girls and shit, they be having big old Mac-10s and Trey Pounds and shit, you know? They, like boy said earlier, Alpha Male, these kids, you can't say nothing to them. You know, the adults around here in Virginia, like I was saying, they walking around with them little Glock 9s, and the kids has got the brrr. They got the brrr, the shit that spraying.
Yes,
you know, so,
if you take a course on how to use cover, hell, you could take them out with a toothpick. But, yeah. Long guns are good, like, in certain situations, but actually it's more of a handicap.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I don't know, but probably 10 out of 100 that actually train with them.
Mm.
You know, so I don't worry about long guns too much. And God forbid, too close range.
Oh yeah,
you gonna eat your gun. Trust me.
God damn. Good sir. Uh-oh, brother.
Yeah,
I got a good law for y'all to go into now, brother. But I gotta play this clip right fast. I gotta play this clip. And I know what law y'all going to go into after this, so let me play this clip right back. I hadn't heard it. I just looked it up. So I hadn't heard it. We all listening to this together. But I know what law y'all going to go in on this one. You see.
All too often, I hear leaders talk about providing everyone with dignity and respect like it's an aspirational goal. That's not good enough. Dignity and respect is the bare minimum. It's the floor of where we can be. We must set our sights higher and focus on intentional inclusivity, because there are still far too many people out there, not just LGBTQ individuals, that feel marginalized, shut out, or discriminated against. So for all of you out there, I ask you to set out your symbols of pride, share your pronouns in your email, particularly if you're a person who doesn't think they need to. Initiate difficult conversations about racial and gender barriers, and share a bit of your vulnerability in a way that draws others in. You all have the power to take intentionally inclusive actions to ensure the multiple perspectives that we know make us stronger as we devise winning warfighting strategies get heard.
Now, for the record, that is a lieutenant colonel who's a transgender speaking to U.S. Space Force officials, to the U.S. Air Force, about inclusion and demand everyone to respect LGBTQ people. Yeah. So what law fit that one right there? What law do we use on that one?
Well, Leviticus 18:22.
There you go.
You gotta finish. You know, don't just say chapter and verse. Go ahead and read it.
No, let me go ahead and get my Torah going to that, because, you know, I'll be having it off the dome. Like the rapper say, spit it off the dome.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and read it, Leviticus 18.
He said you got to be inclusive now. He said you got to be inclusive.
It says, you shall not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. It is abomination.
Mm.
So that being gay is wrong. It's wrong.
It's not just wrong. It's an abomination. You know what abomination is? Unforgivable.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So see, that word wrong. That word wrong leaves it open to interpretation.
That's why Alpha Male said, "Go ahead and read it all." I knew what he was saying when he said, "Read it all."
Don't. That's some wicked stuff there, boy.
Man, I even had one of them. I can't even find it. It said somewhere that it was disgusting to the Most High. It was one of these. I'm trying to find where it was, man. I can't even find it. It was one Torah or something I had that said it was disgusting to the Most High.
And
you know what? And that's the thing with that nowadays. With all these damn dudes walking around here, you don't know. You don't even know. They can walk around here, like I tell you all the time. Nicky can walk around here like Ving Rhames. And you don't even know. You don't know. And trust me, I've seen gay Israelite brothers.
Damn.
I've seen, and I'm looking at them like, what the hell? I'd have been in a camp where brother then got called out for gay shit. And I'm looking at him like, this dude is down harder than hard. He walk around here like damn exhibit. Like, shit. Like, he walk around here like Doug C, the rapper Doug C. Got the gangster look. And he tell me he fruity. Like, you know. Yeah, so that's why I'm trying to tell you, you know, it's sad to have to, you know, be that way, but, yeah, it's sad to have to be that way where you got to kind of put everybody in that box. But, yeah, like Alpha Male was talking about earlier, the elder, and like you were saying, praising the elders, shoot, some of these elders, they might talk all that stuff, but if you don't know, you don't know. Yeah, what did it say? Devil in disguise.
What did it say, bro?
I just did a search. How many times does abomination appear in Bible verses? It appears 84 times.
Damn.
Now, when something's mentioned 84 times, you can take that to the bank. It was important.
It was important.
Yes, sir.
Damn. Yes, sir. And, brother, like, even with the, I'm going to say the craziness, because we talk about the Leviticus. Now, this little skinny dude here in Memphis called Justin Pearson. He's a I don't know what that sucker is, but he's from Memphis, and he's supposed to be a representative. They the one that caused all of this stir up in New York about a year ago, and they kicked them out, but somehow they got back in there. But anyway, so tell us
the nigga with the afro, you know, fake Malcolm, Martin Luther King type Negro.
Yeah, him.
Oh,
that's
hell. He is gay as hell.
Yeah, that's him. And his dad is a pastor too. They said he's a pastor. He the one that did a thing. He did a thing talk about Jesus is a woman, and he said, "Pray to the woman God, the trans God, and all that old crazy stuff." But the food the other day, big up to the. I'm gonna say it. I ain't gonna hold no punches. Big up to the Republicans here in Tennessee, boy. They've been cutting up. They've been standing up for morality here in Tennessee. Big up to the Republicans here in Tennessee, man. The governor here now, and I did get a chance to vote. I voted for him here, Bill Lee. Big up, because he been taking care of business as far as morality here. But anyway, what they did here the other day, they voted to ban the LGBT flags to be hung in schools. It's a ban. They can't put them up in schools no more. It's a ban. But this fool While when they did it, he go up there cutting up and kind of going against it, started talking about some stuff that was evil. That's what he said. He said it was evil and immoral what they were doing. For the people who voted to get those flags out of, he said they were being evil, and he called them immoral for not wanting to put them flags. So he started coming with some other bull crap, talking about the Confederate flag. See, you always got to play the race card. He started talking about the Confederate flag. They don't even fly no damn Confederate flags in the schools.
No.
So he wanted the LGBT flags in the schools. Ah, damn.
But let me tell you something about him, though. And I know y'all going to get mad because I'm kind of going off topic.
No, we good. Yeah, we about 9 minutes left. Go ahead.
When we're talking about Justin Pearson, and there was another guy that he's with. I think his name is Jones. His last name is Jones or something like that.
I think his name Justin Jones or something. Both of them named Justin,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, Justin Jones. Yeah. One of them, he got straight hair. He kind of looked like a Bruno Mars cousin.
Yeah, he part Native. They say he's somewhat half Native American or something. I know you're talking about, but go ahead, Brother Day.
When you're looking at it, and I've said this plenty of times, and I'm going to do a lecture on this. They imitating the, what do you call it, the Greeks, the Hellenistic, you know, Hellenism.
Yes, sir.
You know, when you're looking at the HBCUs, and that's something that, like I said, I talk about this all the time because I have a strong HBCU family lineage, even though I never went, my brothers never went, my sister went to one, and I'm going to tell you something, I ain't talked to her in over 7 years. It's crazy, I just started talking to her about a year ago, and I'm going to tell you something, that hoe is so far gone. They are, I'm being serious, they are an HBCU. It's rare to find somebody that comes out normal. Black history studies is pretty much LGBT studies. Feldman College, pretty much, when you were talking about the Justin Pearson or whatever his name is, it's not shocking. It's not shocking. HBCUs is pushing the LGBT and black history heavy. They are. They, matter of fact, they push the shit. Like, I'm going to tell you something. If I had kids, I'm going to tell you something. All that, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Ossie Davis, I'd rather my kids' minds be wasted, drunk, and high than to be in these schools and these colleges. Because you come out worse. I'd rather my son be Ned the Wino than to go to these colleges, these HBCUs, because they learn LGBT. They don't have. I've talked about this plenty of times. I have family that went. They have took out their anatomy. When it comes time, even with the medical procedures, medical doctors, you go to school for medical school, they don't even talk about this. When they talk about anatomy, they pretty much have a penis and a vagina as like a play body for them to work on. They don't have, in the HBCUs, their medical schools have the same exact thing. Yeah, they're terrible. I don't care. Take your kids about these HBCUs. That Justin Pearson, he's just doing what the hell he was taught. HBCUs is is teaching this madness.
Well, he's being put up as a prop. They setting him up for another position to do something, run for senator, like they did Barack Obama. They grooming him right now.
Hey, check this out.
Yes, sir.
Linked to what Dave was saying now. There was a dude that sued a doctor because the doctor wouldn't do a pap smear on him.
Damn.
Yeah, they don't even teach. They don't in these too. Medical schools.
Damn.
Yeah, they have pretty much like, okay, for instance, they used to study what you call the they used to have the mannequins where they would teach like, okay, the different body parts. They have a damn, okay, they have a female body. They have a female body with a damn penis on it in some of these medical schools. And they're even doing it in cosmetology and barbering schools, too. Because you have to learn about the body in these schools, too. When you take your state board, you have to learn about the body. They're doing that in the barbering textbooks. Like, instead of you, I'm being serious with you. State board, like they have what you call the m'lady. M'lady is when you go to any barber school, beauty school, they have a textbook called m'lady, which has the curriculum which you have to teach in order to pass a state board for your license. They're putting that in the new damn textbooks about transgenders, about transgender anatomies.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, some powerful money
behind
this shit.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they fucking it all up. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it's terrible. Y'all, that's why I say I'd rather just keep my kids on the motherfucker. If I had kids, I would keep them on some old school shit. Get them an old school textbook. Get one from like 1960s. Get one.
I know Pastor Dow always, his moniker is always, come up out of her, my people.
Yes, sir. Got to. So I ain't lying. Yeah.
They are, and they don't teach sex education in the school system. Well, no.
And my point is they never should have. That's a parent's responsibility.
Yep.
They don't teach all that independent living and all that. They don't teach that no more. Somebody was saying, look, I know I have people who I talk to who got kids to go to these school systems. I'm like, you ain't learn this. Man, nigga don't learn that shit in school no more. I'm like, what? I'm like, I got expelled from 12 schools, and even I remember that in school.
University of useful idiots.
Yeah. What they said, a Hebrew word, well, they said hell is shul. Really ain't hell, but shul. Shul, and you pray that I hear somebody say it's a shul, as that it sounds like school, don't it?
Yeah,
I was like, damn, Joe, ain't lying. Shul, school.
I'll end with this one. Back in, man, it's been a long time ago when. Heritage Genie and the Straight Black Pride crew went down to Spelman and was videotaping, and all these dudes walking around with pumps on and shit. These high air pumps. So this Dave is right. This goes way back. And this man, this had to be 10, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were straight, you were just harassed, you know?
Yeah.
And if a faggot said something to you and you didn't like it, and they would bless you out. You know?
Yeah.
You're supposed to accept his advances like you would a female. And I tell him that ain't happened. I'm gonna fuck with his dental work. He come at me.
I'm gonna tell you something.
These especially the hair salon industry. As a straight guy who has worked in the hair salon industry, I've worked in salons with gay dudes, and I had one white gay dude try that shit with me. I looked at him, I said, you better keep your fucking eyes over there. And I'm going to tell you something, his ass did not like me. He did not like me after hearing that. I said, you keep your eyes over there. I told him, you better keep your fucking eyes over there. He ain't like me.
But them HBCU, like we said, they Hellenized Jews. I mean, they not nah, Jews. They Hellenized. They Greek. You know what happened in Greek? You know the freaks of Greek. And remember what they said? What was it? The blacks who started all this stuff. I forgot the name of it. The one that bullied them. They wanted to start it because just to be like the white Greek fraternities and sororities. Same old stuff. Like I said, I was the brother that worked. We were talking about this one day, and I threw it out. Like I said, wait a minute now. Y'all call yourself African American, African descent. Now, why would y'all choose a goddamn Greek fraternity, a sorority? When all right. They said, I asked one dude, well, man, see, we just chose the Greek letters. I said, well, damn, why the Greek letters, bro? I said, because. I said, shit, you had the Medunetta and all of that stuff, whatever they call it. Well, I can't say hieroglyphic because that's Greek. You had the Medunetta and you had the Hebrew alphabet. All that was way before the Greek letters. So why the hell are these Greek letters? He couldn't respond.
Because he liked having his ass tickled.
Yeah. And he was a goddamn, he was in the masonry and all that Greek shit. He was happy about all that.
The Greeks, because like I tell you, a lot of them Greeks, man, they even allowing transgenders within their sororities now. Go look it up.
Yep, I remember that.
Transgender, Howard University. Go look it up. They had a pride day for Howard University about a couple years ago. I remember seeing an article. Because even though, like I said, I never went to one, but it's mostly about 60% of my family went. Aunts, uncles, cousins. I still, keep up with, what's going on. You know, because you have to. You know, and I'm gonna tell you something. They had a pride day at Howard. Wasn't Hampton, it was Howard. About 2 or 3 years ago. And I was reading the article and then there was a bunch of damn transgenders with the motherfucker in pink and green, and I'm like, what the fuck? What's going on? I mean, you know, when I look at Kamala Harris, she looked like a dude, but, you know, shit.
Yeah. And Dave, we go back. We go back to all these Greek fraternities. People are like, oh man, I went to a black HBCU. But they really look at it out. They probably don't give a damn. But they do their homework. Okay, you call it black historical black college. But hell, they were started by white folks, majority of them. I ain't researched all of them, but like Alpha Male, he mentioned earlier, he mentioned Spelman. They were started by two damn lesbians, supposedly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Spelman, I'm looking at it right. I even went back to go look it up so I can make sure. It's been a long time since I looked it up. But it says in 1882, two women returned to Massachusetts to bid for more money and were introduced by a wealthy Northern Baptist businessman, John D. Rockefeller. And remember, they actually named it after his wife, Laura Spelman.
Yep.
But it was started by two women. Kamala? Did she go to Howard?
Kamala Harris. Yeah.
Howard was started by a damn Civil War. What was he? I think he was a Civil War general. Don't quote me on that. But it was something better going back to the Civil War, but it was a white dude, Howard. Morehouse. All them over there, they started by white folks. I'd be like, what the hell? You think you're getting away from there? But they all start. And a lot of them, Spelman was supposed to have been a Bible college or something like that, dealing with that. Morehouse, too.
Yep. And you know what? Because you know with me, I had to go back to school to get my diploma. Which I went through a community college for that. And I'm going to tell you something. I had to tell a lot of my family members because they tried to force my brothers to go because they dropped out of like the college and university. Yeah. They was like, fuck that, we ain't doing this. Now, I had to tell them. I said, told a lot of my family, I said, for me, I would never go to a four-year university. I said, for one thing, especially no damn HBCU. And the fact is, they make black people, not only that, they make black people just coon it up. Like every black person that I see that's in my family that has went to one of them, I'm being serious with you. I would rather be in the room with Carlton Banks than to be in the room with them.
God damn.
I'm being serious. I'd rather be in the room with, Uncle Tom, like Terry Crews or Carlton Banks, because they would tell you, we're black, but then they get these jobs in the social services. They get jobs in the DMV. They get jobs in the welfare office. And meanwhile, they're supposed to be prominent pillars in the black community. Oh, HBCU graduate, this was, this turned to. But then they get jobs, and notice this, they get jobs within places to keep low-income black people down. And the whole time, they will treat these brothers and sisters like shit. I got an aunt that was a social worker, and she bragged about her HBCU shit. And I'm being serious with you. She treat all her fucking clients like shit. All of them. And I'm looking like, you're supposed to be a well-to-do black woman. I've been serious with you. I got cousins who've been law enforcement. And I'm being serious. They'll whoop somebody ass that's black before the white cop will.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, but you brag about your HBCU. You brag about being a part of this, part of that, but you look what you're doing. Look at the. I'm gonna tell y'all something. They had some guys that whooped that guy ass, the FedEx guy, in Memphis a couple years ago. You remember that? All of them guys.
Tyreek Nichols. Yeah, Tyreek Nichols.
All them cops were part of America Sci-Fi. You remember that?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it is.
I got family like that. And I'm being serious with you. I tell them all the time, I'd rather be a broke nigga working a regular job than to go sell out and be over there with y'all. I'm being serious with you. I'd rather be a broke country ratchet nigga than to be a Uncle Tom bougie nigga like that. Cause
What is that, bro?
I said it the other night. I hate them fucking cops because they'll do all this dirty shit. And once their pension is secure, then they find Jesus.
Dang.
Especially
it'd be like, what's that dude, Anton LaVey, as soon as he get ready to die? I believe in God now. On his deathbed.
Yeah.
So I can't
stand. Yeah. Damn. They're terrible. It's always these black ones that's hard as hell. Always hard as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Going to the military.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Too much
now. You know, Cyrus Sutton said he used to be a police officer. And that
he
said he was terrible on the force. Yeah,
no, said he was a police officer.
He was a sheriff's deputy. He worked at the jail. And they say he was the worst one out there, too.
Hell no.
Yeah.
And they told me once one of those, you always one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotta be. And the crazy part about, remember back in the day when, man, what's his name? Bill Cosby done pushed a lot of this goddamn Greek fraternity shit real deep back in the day. Yeah. You remember, especially with Different World and all that shit. They made that shit, man, look glorified and fun. But old stuck up ass Whitley, you know, I didn't see it that way back then. I used to like that little proper ass girl back then.
Me too. Yeah, I used to like the Red Bones back in the day too. I tell you, back in the day, I was a color struck nigga. I loved me some Whitley Gilbert back in the day.
Yeah, but he glorified, made you want to go to college and shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
Join them damn Greek fraternity. And it was another one. I know, I don't know the Cosby. Did he have he somewhat talked about it, but especially that Different World, though. That shit there, man.
Yeah.
You want to go be a Morehouse man. And that's what I think they was kind of advertising more, Morehouse and kind of like Spelman. I think that's what they was kind of somewhat advertising, wasn't it? Kind of portraying.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. And you know what? And Felicia Rashad that played Mother Huxtable, the Lady Huxtable, whatever damn name is the wife, they just because of the Bill Cosby scandal, they dropped her from being she was in Howard University, but they dropped her ass.
Damn.
They dropped her. Her and David Allen, they ain't working at no Howard University no more.
Yeah, I never understand them.
Damn.
Yeah, them some bougie hoes.
Yeah, they hurt me every time they open their mouths.
Yeah.
Just shut up, turn around, let me hit it and go. Because every time you open your mouth, you just turn me off. Shit.
Damn.
Yeah. You got big show, dude. Especially our sister. It turned out all them girls on the Different World. Yeah.
I tell you another woman that disgusts me in both ways, Maya Angelou. She gave me the creeps. And what's this new supposed poet? Can't think of her name, but she gives me the creeps. There's something about and you know they dice.
Huh.
You know, people can say what they want to say, but you can tell in their verbiage that something's They ain't playing with a full deck.
Huh. And Maya Angelou, I didn't know. I didn't really never get into it, but she didn't. Yeah, she was married to a white dude, wasn't it? Or European. I don't want to call him white, but European, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
Maybe.
And that was a female poet. I forgot she was in the she was in the, I think her last name was Sand Change. She was another poet back in the day. She was another poet back in the day with the Maya Angelou crew, and she came out 2 years ago before she died.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Remember I said the other night, for some reason, black women are drawing the dice?
Sonya Sanchez. That's her name. Sonya Sanchez. I don't know nothing about her. She was like one of those poet type females, and she was like that too, like a poet type female, and she did her and Alice Walker and, like I said, Maya Angelou and all them. They was all in one big old circle.
I mean, Oprah Winfrey, Angela Bassett. What's the strange looking chick that played the Woman King? You know,
Angela Davis.
She was another one, but the black lady that plays it was this movie called The Woman King, supposedly over in Africa. What's her name?
Viola Davis. I said Angela Davis. My bad. Viola Davis.
Yeah. And they always, and I could tell they're dykes because I hear one you talk about. Go ahead.
I know what you're about to say.
No.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it's like, They're attracted to this hard-headed, retarded, like illiterate, like disgusting looking. I don't know why they draw to this shit. You know, and I'm because I used to have this theory when I was younger that all females are on the fence between straight and dyke.
Damn.
that's a good one. You right about that one, man.
Yeah. Because one bitch will cry, and the bitch that's comforting her is a little over-comforting. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's almost erotic, and I'm like, yo, why are you touching? Yeah, no, fuck that. You know, so yeah, they strange, man. They strange.
And you know what, Alpha Male. I don't know if you remember, Oprah also had a girl that was with her, named Ava DuVernay.
That's the one. I couldn't think of her name. Yep.
Ava DuVernay. And she, I don't know why I was watching some of them shows she had. Greenleaf. That show about a pastor's family called Greenleaf. She did another one called Queen Sugar. Tell you something. These books were based off of like real stories. Like Queen Sugar, Greenleaf was based off of books. And I'm going to tell you something. For some reason, I used to hate to, like, read a book that got turned into a film adaptation. Let me tell you why. They don't put all that shit in the – all that shit that they put in the movies ain't in the books.
Yeah.
Like Queen Sugar, which Ava DuVernay is one of Oprah's dyke girlfriends. In the movie, in the show, Queen Sugar, they was dyking it up like hell. And right. I'm going to tell you something. I had to stop watching that show because I was looking at it. I'm like, wait a second, this shit ain't in the book. I'm like, this shit ain't in the book. What the fuck do you mean by old girl going with the damn, going with her professor? I'm like, this shit ain't in the book. Talk about damn, your sister supposed to be pro-black. Going with a white dude that's a cop. That shit ain't in the book. That's why I said, I'm just like, and even the book was about a guy who was a felon. He went and robbed somewhere, and he had his son. He did some time, came out, took care of his son. And then there was a girl who was a lawyer, and she was very big. Her father died. She came back home to take care of the land and help her little brother out.
Right.
But nowhere in the book did they have a dyke sister. So when I looked at the show Queen Sugar, I'm thinking, let me see. I keep hearing everybody come. I read the actual book. Nowhere in there, all on the show, is nothing but gay. They gay in every fucking thing up. I'm like, none of this shit in the damn book. None of this shit. I'm going to tell you something. I had to put this goddamn show down. I said, fuck it. I'm like, that none of this shit's in the book. I'm going to tell you, worst shit ever. Don't ever read no damn film adaption of no book when it's black people that's directing it, because they will put the gay bullshit in the goddamn movies.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because my wife has Netflix, right? Now, I'll grab a science fiction movie that has nothing to do with nothing. Now, I'm the type of person, I don't want to see no relationship in the movie, because I don't give a fuck. I want to see the movie, right? I'm watching fucking Godzilla, and they got a way to put that faggot shit in there.
In Godzilla.
I told my wife, you need to start paying for this shit, because I've only found one goddamn program that doesn't have faggot shit in it.
Yep. They got a whole channel on now just for that on the Netflix, ain't it?
I don't know. I just put in science fiction. And even the cop shows and the murder mysteries. And here's the fucked up thing. They fuck with you because they put it in like the ninth episode, right?
Yeah.
to see if you're stupid enough to continue. You know what I mean? This shit is disgusting. And I always tell you, you ought to be ashamed of yourself watching this shit.
Remember Netflix, the Christians got all over Netflix ass for that, because they was finna put out a thing about gay Jesus. Boy, them Christians got all over their ass for it, and they didn't put that out there, but they was getting ready to do some kind of thing, but it was like a gay Jesus, though.
Well, Passion of the Christ was about a gay Jesus.
Yeah.
Damn. I ain't never watched
it. Damn fruitcake.
Yeah, I ain't
Jesus
never watched it.
Zeus.
Me either, but I saw the poster. It was showing up a long hair faggot in a dress.
Yep, damn. Hey, I got a good clip for y'all I just found.
I'm going to tell you, this is one of the reasons why I don't subscribe to Messianic doctrine. Listen at this. Jesus is Zeus. I keep telling y'all that Jesus is Zeus. Like, when you looking at even with Jesus period, he has to be Zeus, because all the New Testament is written in Greece. It's written in Rome, Greece. It wasn't nothing but homos over there. Mm. That's why I said Jesus is gay. I will never believe that Jesus is black. I don't care how much Crayola of Messianic keyboard put up there. Jesus is white.
I'm glad you said that, because when I first met, I don't know if he was Mexican or Puerto Rican, but his name was spelled, well, at that time, I thought it was Jesus. And he said, he started that way. Nah, it's Jesus. But it's spelled just like Jesus. I'm like, okay.
Yep. Spanish call him Jesus.
Right.
But so you get that King James 16:11 is Isus.
Yeah,
so you get King James 16:11 is Isus.
It's spelled like I, right?
Yep.
I-O-U, and you know what? And that's why the Zodiac and them don't want to motherfucking pull out the real King James and the Tynesdale and the John Wycliffe Bible, because all those Bibles have that shit pronounced like that.
Mm-hmm. But they tell you, though, to get the King James 16:11. They tell you to get the King James 16:11, and the King James 16:11, the one got Isus on it. And that's the one they tell you, but they read it. That's why they – but remember the game, though, they don't say Jesus. They say Yahawashah. And remember, that's why I did that video. They tell people Jesus and Yahawashah is two different people. You remember that day? You remember that? No, not according to One West. They say Yahawashah and Jesus is two different people. See how they play the goddamn game? That's why I be doing some of the videos like I be doing. Some people probably do. Some of the people be coming sometimes. They don't catch that because they don't hear that shit. That's why the Messianic, they don't never comment on them videos. Some of them camp. They don't. They know we be telling. I be throwing their ass about that bullshit. Like, that's why I be saying this stuff. The people probably don't understand, like, this fool, he's crazy. What do you mean? Where's the book of Yahawashah? They be knowing what I'm talking about. That's why I be throwing it out there like that. Where the book of Yahawashah is?
Yeah.
You know what? That's interesting. Because now some camps will say Yahawashah, Jesus, it's like it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'll say one in front of the other.
Yeah.
You know, like Pookie, aka Sniper. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
who are you talking about?
I don't know. Don't Israel United in Christ, don't they say Jesus, don't they? I think they say, I'm not sure.
They say both.
They say Jesus. They say Christ.
Oh, they said Jesus. Because I remember they did a video, they say Yahawashah was not his name. They teach against that Yahawashah stuff. They teach against Yahawashah.
Gather of Christ Church.
They call him Yeshaya. Yeah, they call him
Yeshaya. I've heard that, yeah. Now, let me ask you something now. We understand what the pronunciation of Jesus, and they turned the J into a J sound, but are they saying Yahawashah to confuse or connect it to Yah? Is that part of why they do that?
I'm gonna break something down to you.
Okay.
A lot of them, and I've heard this stupid ass breakdown before. They say Yahawashah is supposed to be Joshua.
Huh?
A lot of them say that Joshua in Paleo Hebrew is Yahawashah. So when they say Yahawashah, they mean my Savior, supposedly.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something. It's they tried to put it like this, Yah which means he, Havishai, supposed to be my Savior. They try to put him as like a God and a Savior in one, like you were saying. But then they compare him to Joshua.
Now,
that's why I said.
Here's another question. Okay, if J was pronounced Ha, then Jacob would be who? Jacob? Or
yep.
I'm confused now.
You're right. Jacob.
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 Okay.
Jacob.
Yeah. So, all right. I think I'm catching on.
Yep. That's why, Alvin, I got the Bible I'll be having. Talking about the complete Jewish study Bible and stuff like that. Even though this here is a messianic, but I it's certain things like the notes that I know this they trying to teach that messianic stuff. But it's a lot of stuff they change. They will have because these are Jews who did this book, even they Jewish messianics. But like in this book, they do have Yaakov. They have them. They change. They won't have some of them English like that. Some of them names they change the names. Put it back. And even when you're going with Dave was just saying, though, he said Joshua. Even when they'll say, some of them say Yehoshua. Yehoshua, it would still be the same as they saying Joshua. And it's crazy because when you even read, I'm trying to find one right fast, where they say, Yah is our Savior. I'm trying to find one. It's in Isaiah. Because when you read anywhere in the Tanakh, when it actually says Savior, man, I'm trying to find a scripture right there. They got it in there, top of my head. Well, anyway, when you see where it says Savior and stuff like that, if you were reading that in Hebrew, you actually would read it and say Yehoshua. I mean, yeah, Yehoshua or Yahshua. I'm going to say like Yahshua. And you'd be like, hold up.
Yep.
They talking about Jesus, ain't you? Like, nah, because the Hebrew word for Savior is would have been like Yeshua or Yeshaya or something. Okay, here, yeah, I had one highlighted somewhere. Trying to find, damn, I got it highlighted, but where is it? I don't know. Well, I'm looking for the exact word that says Savior. I'm looking for the exact word that says, oh, here you go. Isaiah 43 and the first three. Now, this, like I said, my complete Jewish study Bible. It says, for I am Yahweh, your Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Now, if I actually had that as a Hebrew right there, look at it up, Savior, it would say like Yahshua, Yehoshua, or something like that, that word Savior. But if somebody seen that Yeshua, oh, man, see, Jesus is mentioned in the whole Old Testament. See, it said Yeshua right there. No, that's just what Savior means. That's just the word Savior. That's how they get you. They get people with it. Yahshua, just Yahshua, Yehoshua, like they were saying Joshua. Well, we say Yahshua. See, still, Joshua, Yahshua, that means Yehoshua, that means salvation. But they make it look like it's talking about Jesus. That's why they say he's our Savior, because Savior, the word Savior is Yahshua, or say that Yehoshua, a.k.a. Then they might give it now, say Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a trick. Man. That's why it's so it be so difficult when you know when people don't really know the names, and because they trick us out with this Christianity shit.
Well, I'm glad I met you, brothers, because I'm still thoroughly confused, but it's coming together.
It is confusing. I ain't gonna lie, brother. It is. It take a lot, man. It is confusing.
You know what? And I'm glad you brought that up. Even when you do look at Shayak, like, which is Mashiach, some people will say that that's in, like, okay, when you go to Isaiah, the 49th chapter, the 5th verse, and they talk about Isaiah being the helper or the savior in there, some people will. Maybe it was just the scriptures I read, the book called the scriptures. They put Mashiach right there. Some people put Mashiach, and Shayach means, some people say savior, but it really means anointed. But some of the Hebrews will screw up and will, like, matter of fact, let me go to my
What was that scripture again, Dave? I'm going to look it up in the scripture Bible.
It was Isaiah, I want to say 49:5. It might be Isaiah the 53rd. It's one of them.
I'll look up both of them.
Yeah, because when they go to talk about Savior, they always talk about Isaiah. And but they try to make Savior as far as somebody. Let's see, Isaiah 43:3. Yeah, try that. Oh no, man, 43:3.
I'll be right back.
Okay, no problem. And they say Mashiach. Oh, that's the one I read earlier, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And some of them use Isaiah 49.
So how they put Mashiach with that with Savior?
Well, okay. When you look in that Mashiach, right?
Yeah.
Now, and when you get into some of their coordinates, which they got screwed up concordance. Like KJV concordance will say, like, some of them will say, like, Shayat. Some of them will say Yasha, like he was saying Yahusha.
Yes,
where they sometimes confuse Yahusha. But when you're getting into certain, like, especially KJV, they will say Mashiach instead of Yeshua, Yahusha, and they get that word confused. They will get that confused. I've heard Ishupk, they will say like Mashiach for them would be Messianic, but that means Savior. According to them, if you look at it from a KJV Hebrew standpoint, it will mean Savior for them.
That's
but
still
that's
wrong
only for King James.
Because that's still wrong. Mashiach, or how would they put? That would just be anointed. Anointed ain't nowhere in that verse. Now you do
but
have, like I said, I got the scripture Bible, and it says for, you know, and they don't even have the name. They have the Tetragrammaton in there. It says for I am Yah, your Elohim, the set apart one of Israel, your Savior. And it says I gave you Mizraim as your ransom. See, they don't even have anointed. So how in the hell, I'm saying, how are they getting Mashiach, which is anointed, from there? They adding it to that. Because that says Savior, which would be, like I said, Yehoshua or Yahshua. Because that's Savior right there. That ain't anointed. Because Mashiach, however they want to name it, say it. That's anointed. I don't know how in the hell they get that. I ain't never said that in there.
And that's what a lot of them put in there, too.
Did he add?
That's how a lot of them will say anointed and Savior is about the same, and I've heard that being pushed too.
Nah, they lying on that one. Yeah, they adding that. See, that's what they want to make it. See, that's what I was saying. They want to make him be a part of the scriptures when he's not in there. And like I said, if people not listening and studying and following along with it, yeah, they'll get him. I got another one. I got the my Jerusalem Bible. It says Savior right there. They don't say none of that in there. Don't say none of that stuff. It says Saviors. So, yeah, they adding that in there.
And see, that's what they do. And that's why I say when I look at anointed and I look at Savior, I ignore it. I just go and I just read my Kamash.
Well, yeah, they two different words. Yeah, they're just two different words. And anointed has nothing to do, and by the way, anointed has nothing to do with no damn Christ. And you see, that's the whole point that Christians need to realize. Well, they realize that, which I don't think they are. I'm going to say some of them not. They will because they said, he's the Christ, the Christ. A Christ, it's like I said, just mean anointed one. Like I said, hell, King Cyrus, hell, he wasn't even no Israelite, but he was called anointed, the anointed one. And see, they need to learn what this word anointed means. They just automatically, this Messiah, he the Messiah, Christ is the Messiah, he this superhero that just going to die on the cross. No, where are y'all getting this from? They don't understand the concept of anointed. They just think it. Go ahead, brother.
You're terribly mistaken. You assume they read.
You're right about that. Absolutely. You sure right. They regurgitate us. That's it.
I'm gonna tell you the worst, but one of the worst experiences I had is my mom didn't know I could read.
Right.
And, you know, she's one of them holiness, high-rolling church folks.
Yes, sir.
Oh, let me get my dad had me read some stuff out of the Bible. And one day she was coming at me, and I laid that word on her. Boy, I thought I was going to die that day.
Man, that happened to my grandma.
Man, my dad had to save me. That's how belligerent she was. I knew something was wrong. My dad used to always tell me, like, man, how do you know that? I was like, I don't know, Pop. It just feels wrong. And then he would show me a little thing in the Bible. See that right there? See that? I'd be like, okay. You know? And I just say stuff. And just like now, you'll say, you know, that's in the book. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Like I was messing with you earlier. I said, you must have read this book I got over here already.
No. I don't know. I just feel things. Sometimes I can't explain them. I can just feel them.
Yes, sir. You got the spirit of discernment, as the Bible says. You got the spirit of discernment.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And you know what? Today, going back into that, like I said, you know, I've heard somebody kind of disputing on that because I see this sometimes. Because I wrote something one time. They said, no, that ain't how you say the name. Because they say Yahshua and then... Like the most of the European Jews have it, is Yeshua. And they're like, ah, because if somebody had said, hey, man, that ain't how you say it, it's Yahshua. And I looked at him like, you know what? I said, I would rather spell it like that. I know it will follow. I was like, I would rather spell it like that because you got Yah on it. I'm like, yeah, that would be the right. Because we're not going there because of, you think about this new. Guys be talking about, y'all need to learn Hebrew. Well, actually, this Hebrew they got, modern Hebrew, is made up. That's why people be saying it's made up from a European. Oh, damn, it was a European. Let me get this book right fast. One second. He's actually, they call him the father of modern Hebrew. Dave, I know you would know his name. They call him Ben Yehuda. He had Ben Yehuda or something like that. He was a European.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
They said that it was basically lost, the biblical Hebrew and all that was lost. And I seen them European dudes, you know, them dudes that they don't like, they go against Israel. They got a name they call it, the ultra-Orthodox Jews. And they go against, say, that the state of Israel is not supposed to be over there. So, but anyway, I seen a video.
Is it like the Hasidic?
They call some kind of Mata Carter. I know that the other group called is Carter or something, but it's another name. I can't pronounce it. But they do have the black, like the Hasidic Jews. They be out there protesting with the Palestinians and stuff. But they Jews. They call them ultra-Orthodox Jews. But anyway, dude was saying, he was debating with, well, it's one of the Jews was trying to get him to debate with him. He's like, hey, man, we don't do all that debate. We ain't got time for all that. But dude was kind of going with him, and he was like, you know, people there say the Lashawan Kadash, that's made up. That's some bull crap that the Hebrew Israelites made up. But no, that dude, that ultra-Orthodox Jew, he was telling dude, he's like, hey, he started saying something about their language. And he was like, how come y'all don't study Lashawan Kadash? He said, y'all made up y'all own language. He said, that's not real Hebrew, that's Yiddish. And that's going back to what we're talking about with this dude, Ben Yehuda. You go back, that is, it's from German, it's mixed with German and Yiddish and all of that bull. It's not real biblical Hebrew. So when that Orthodox Jew was saying that Lashawan Kadash was actually the real Hebrew, he was telling that goddamn other Jew that. So even the Orthodox know that. So when people are like, man, these Hebrew Israelites, all that Lashawan Kadash, that's some made-up shit that they made up. No, not even according to the damn what you call. They know better than that. The Hebrew that everybody talking about, man, you got to learn Hebrew. That's not the original biblical Hebrew that the ancient Israelites studied. I mean, they spoke. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I've always known that it slipped my mind, but yeah, I've always known that the Germans over in Israel spoke Yiddish.
Yep. And their stuff is mixed.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. But,
and you notice I called them Germans, right?
Yes, sir.
They're not Jews, never had been a Jew.
Alpha Male. I think Alpha Male got a library over there. He ain't telling us about Dave.
Hey, look, now I'm gonna put something to you also. So yesterday, I was in the other day, not yet, yeah, it was yesterday. I was in the grocery store. And I wear my prayer shawl everywhere I go, and my, Star Davis. And I had a white Jewish man. He said, "What's up with all that you wearing?" I said, "I'm an Israelite. I'm a Jew." And he said, "Did you convert?" I said, "Hell no. My whole ancestry, everybody, like my people predate 1941 and 1917." Then he bit his tongue for a second. And he started talking about some, well, I was born over there. I said, well, my whole ancestors is Israel. And you can kind of tell he was kind of fed up with my ass. I said, well, are you from, like, Kazakhstan, or are you from, like, Germany? And you say, no, I'm really from Israel. And I'm like, I don't know how, because he had to be in his damn, what, like, 70s or maybe 80s. He was an older, like, white Jewish guy, and over there, the Balfour Declaration was in the 1940s. That's when they really completed, like, the Israel over there. So him being in his 80s, I was, late 70s, I was looking at him like, how the fuck are you from Israel?
Right. And how were you born there?
Yeah, that's why he's from, like, Kazakhstan, or he said one of those places. But I'm like, well, you just said he's from Israel.
I seen the films of them lying motherfuckers.
But he was confused, and I started talking about the Torah, like how we're, you know, breaking it down. And I told him, I said, so I grew up Messianic Judaism, where my family pretty much were Messianic, but they were Jews. But they believed in the Messiah. And he said, well, I don't know how that's possible. I said, well, that's right. You're right on that.
You know
and
what?
I told him.
You should have told him that you're not supposed to converse with the Goyim.
Yeah.
Hey,
so he Jews by Judaism, religion.
But listen, no. This is where he got screwed up at, right? And so I told him, I said, well, look. I said, so for me, I said, you know, I read out the Stone Edition tonight. And I said, but I've noticed that going into synagogues, so he started telling me about he ain't been to a synagogue in years. So I said, well, listen at this. I said, so my tabernacle I study with is pretty much, we're based out of Memphis. I said, but we actually study all the books. We study a lot of the books. I said, but I've been to synagogues, European synagogues, and I've noticed that they don't study Tanakh. They don't study Torahs. They read out of Siddurs. And I'm being serious. His ass got, like, silent like a motherfucker. I said, you know, that kind of tripped me up. And I said, it was kind of hard to find a ministry that studied Tanakh, that studied, you know, the actual, you know, Torah. I said, but it's strange how you go in synagogues, you're supposed to study Tanakh, supposed to study Torah, but y'all sing songs and shit and read out of a siddur. And his ass walked away. He said, I got to go. I said,
Well, you know, Dave, I've been looking at that, and I found out why. But first, let me give Alpha Male. So I said, Alpha Male got a library over there, Dave. He ain't telling us, man. Alpha Male got a secret library over there. He like the Vatican. He got a library. Because he said something earlier. Because he said they... Real Alpha Male, you said somebody, some Germans, didn't you, Alpha Male?
Yeah, Germans over there in Israel.
Because check this out. I'm messing with Alpha Male, though. I said he got a library over there. I got the complete, I got a Jewish encyclopedia, and I look up the word Ashkenaz. I think I showed it one time on YouTube, but the word Ashkenaz, they wrote this. It says Ashkenazism, literally German. That's what it said. Ashkenazi, literally German. It said the name was applied to Jews of Germany and northern France in the beginning of the 10th century. Yep. Yeah. It says then you dispense the Sephardics. It says the Sephardics, that is Jews from Spain, Portugal, and the Mediterranean countries and North Africa. But it says literally Ashkenazism literally means German.
Mm-hmm.
So how could Hitler hate the damn Jews when the
Jews
were Germans?
I tell you why he hated them.
Was it
the same debauchery we witness in the day? You know, because it had nothing to do with their race. It had something to do with them infiltrating politics and trying to establish the banking system and all that stuff. You know, it had to do with nothing with them having big noses or shiny heads. You know, that's just a lie they perpetrate. Because you know, and people look at me crazy when I tell them, you know what? I understand Hitler. He's about the most misunderstood man in history.
Yep, they were Jews. Oh, but they, right fast about what I looked at, bro, and why I looked at this, because I remember you saying it about the synagogue. So I get up early in the Shabbat, and I turn on some of the Shabbat services. And as far as I've been studying and looking as well, reading, and they have a Torah in there. They don't have like what we got. Like they don't have the arch scrolls and stuff like that. They kind of have just like probably what you would have seen in the temple back then, the one big scroll. Because you remember, when you went in there, did you see that big old, like a big case, and they had the Torah and a big scroll like that?
Yeah.
That's what they do. They'll bring that out. Man, this book I got, it tells you how to do a Shabbat service in the synagogue. They'll bring out that big thing, and they'll lay it out. You don't touch it with your hand. They, you know, they get their little pencil thing with the finger, and they read it with that. Especially when I've been seeing them doing bat mitzvahs with the boys, and I forgot what they call it. What is it, bat mitzvah with the girls, whatever?
Mitzvahs for the girls at the bar.
Yeah, they had them reading. So they will read from the Torah when they open and do some part. They read. But here's what it is, Dave. I peeped it out, what it is. Shabbat service is and reading. And why you will see, because with the psalm, you said they read from the Siddur. The Siddur is like a prayer book, psalms, reading psalms. Because that Shabbat, they're doing worship service. They're giving praise to the Most High. It's not that you're studying Torah, because like I said, a lot of it, this is why Ephraim was asked the other day, was the difference between law and the commandments. Because that's why you have other days. Well, you're studying the Torah, going through there, learning about the law, learning about the customs and everything. But Shabbat was a day you do a holy convocation to do what? You praise and glory to the Most High. That's why they're reading out of the Siddurs, which is a prayer book. They're reading prayers. They're singing out of the book of Psalms. They're singing songs with the song books. Like you go to church, they got the choir up there. They're singing, giving praise to Yah and so on. That's what the Shabbat, they're doing with the Shabbat. That's why you don't see them just really up there going too much into the Torah as much. They'll read it, then they'll put it up. That's why, because it's more about giving praise to Yah and giving, you know, that's it. That's why. Which you will see, and similar like that, now we disagree with the church, but that's why you go to church on Sunday and they have what they call worship service. Then you'll see on Wednesdays, or some Tuesdays maybe, they have what they call Bible study. But even before that, they have Sunday school where they learn how to supposedly read the Bible. Then they have, on Wednesday, they have Bible study. But Sunday is worship service. That's what they really had for Shabbat. Can you think about back then, Dave? Just think about when Moses them, we were back then. You wouldn't have been, everybody didn't have no Bible. It's even coming out of body there. Only people maybe had, the Torah scrolls in? They was in the Ark of the Covenant. Wasn't everybody didn't have no damn Torah inside of they whatever they lived in, their houses. Only had them was the high priest, and the high priest was telling everybody these stories. And that went on for a long time, even with the synagogues. Now, we're privileged today to be having the Bibles and all of this stuff in our own home. But hell, you just went with when you went to the temple, you just had to listen to the high priest them tell you the stories about the Torah. And that was it.
Yeah.
And you sit there and worship service. That's why you see, like, I bought some. That's why I've been saying these crazy ass Hebrew Israelites. I know we're about to go over in 1 minute. Well, we've been in overtime, so it's about to start recording in 1 minute. But this is why I've been hearing them crazy ass. It's like Shabbat them. We talking about what the Lord say. They read the book of Psalms like it's a prophecy book. It's not a prophecy book. You go in here. It's a book of prayers. Like when David was praying, asking the Most High forgive him for his sins. You go in here and read. You can read them for prayers. People get sick. Other little things that's happening. You can read them for prayers for the sick. You just going through something, emotionalism, going through it, or you can sing, use it as song books like Catholic Church, them got a hymn books. This is basically what it's about. That's why I buy some that's separate. They call the it's actually called the Tehillim. Instead of Book of Psalms, it's called the Tehillim.
The Tehillim, yeah.
Then I have two of them.
Yeah.
It's not even included in the Bible. It's by themselves. They separate, and that's what they use for. That's what a subdoy is. It's full of like scriptures and stuff out of the Book of Psalms. So yeah, so it's all like how they do. I look at the Jews. I be like them European Jews. I see how they do a lot of stuff, and I'm like, okay. I learn a lot about it. But the Hebrew Israelite community, sometimes they Shabbat. They don't really have Shabbats. I'm be honest, they don't have Shabbats. They still doing the same old thing. Talk about the damn white man is the devil. Yeah, Ashkenazi. Yeah, you know Ashkenazi. And damn, it surely is, don't it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to play this right fast. So we ain't recording now. We ain't gonna get in trouble for it. Now we start recording. But check it out, Alpha Bell. You see me? It's this Bright On, something like that. That's the name of that. You know the website I'm talking about, Alpha Bell. It's a white website. They play a lot of information you ain't gonna hear on mainstream. I think it's Bright On. BrightOn.com or something. You sent me some video that one time before, but I had to send that video.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, but they ain't going to play the whole video. I want to just hear it because I hadn't listened to it either. I just saw it. I was searching for stuff. Bruh, they got a thing on here as a video. They said, because there's supposed to be a lot of conservative. Yeah, they go in there and talk about news that they ain't going to let them kicked off of YouTube, all that. But I got to read it. This says, child rape victim testify. Uh-oh, Dave. Here you go, Dave. I know you're going to like this one. Child rape victim testified Michelle Obama raped me when she was a man.
What?
Dang.
Dave fell out of his chair. I heard him when he fell.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's what it says.
What the fuck?
I'm in the place of it, is here, man. I'm just a little bit. Uh-oh, a little bit.
A child rape victim played the whistle and testified about the cult of pedophilia operating in the White House during the Obama years, alleging that both Obama and Biden raped her during their time in office. File stalks the halls of the White House during Obama's presidency, according to Ali Carter. None more shameless than then Vice President Biden, whose secret security staff have long been aware of his sick predilections. But the culture of pederasty did not stop at the top during the Obama years. It permeated the entire system and goes much deeper than you might expect. The victim alleges she was also raped by Michelle Obama. And this is where things get really disturbing. Presidents, vice presidents, art collectors, Hollywood executives, climate czars, and pizza shop owners. Let's face it, it's one big depraved cult. And thank God you're not in it. Before we get started, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, and join the People's Voice Locals community to join our incredible community, support the channel, and gain access to exclusive and uncensored content. Government agencies and the public are all complicit to the horrors of child trafficking, according to Ali Carter, who told Stu Peters that Child Protective Services, the FBI, CIA, and local law enforcement are all involved. The rot begins at the top, but it does not stop there.
And everybody is so worried about the elite, and we could give those names of Barack Obama, Joe Biden. We know about Michelle Obama, that's a man. We know about...
Oh, shit, Mel. Y'all know I'm going to send y'all this clip. I got to send y'all this clip. This is sister. They showing the video. They showing her. She just said, Michelle Obama, God damn. What the old folks say? Shut the front door. Let me play a little bit more, y'all.
Damn.
Too short. We know about Akon and Steven Tyler, and we can give those names all day, and everybody is so worried about that, but what you should be worried about is the people that are in between, the people that go as low as your grave diggers. I was in schools. I was trafficked in underground tunnels that link under your schools, through your cemeteries, under your amusement parks, through Universal Studios, and into Hollywood elite homes, all over the place, all over the world.
So the names that you just mentioned... Barack Obama.
Stop it 1 second. But what she's saying, I remember hearing them saying, even going back to JFK days, the underground tunnels, how they said at night they used to sneak Marilyn Monroe inside the White House for damn JFK. And even they was talking about going back to George Bush days, they used to sneak prostitutes in through them damn underground tunnels and stuff. I remember that. Even the movie White House Down, they had, they showed them underground tunnels and shit. They trying to get out. So damn, what she saying, some deep shit, y'all. Let me see. Come on, Sam. Play back again.
Steven Tyler, Joe Biden, Michelle Obama, personal sexual experiences with these people.
Yes.
These people participated in sex abuse firsthand with you. Can you tell that story? Because that's important for people to understand and to know. And to this point, I don't think a national platform has given you the opportunity to say those things.
No, because everybody is complicit. Everybody is complicit. It is covered up by your local FBI. It is covered up by your local police department. It is underground tunnels. There's a whole world. It's a different way of life. There's every source of transportation.
I'm going to just stop it right there. I know we want to come in. I'm going to send that to y'all, man. God damn. Yes, they actually showing her face on here. Alvin, you remember this? You remember this page when you this thing? I remember you sent me some stuff from the year, well, not years ago. She actually said Michelle was a man. God damn it, that goes to what Joan Rivers said.
And you know what's so crazy about that too? I'm about to go to sleep.
Yes, sir. We're gonna get
ready
to go
to work in the morning. And I've been talking about this for a long time. When you look at a lot of these, especially people in the entertainment industry, a lot of them are clones. A lot of them are pretty much clones. Whom they switch their gender out. Like a lot of these, like Kamala Harris, she's a man too. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton's probably a man too.
That ugly mother son.
Shit, Susan Rice. She looked like a little fucking light skinned dude. She looked like Cat Williams when he was in the damn Pimp Chronicles.
Damn.
That same hairstyle. Yeah, like, that's why I said I don't, even with Stacey Abrams, she looked like a damn Gerald LaVert with a dress on. You know, that's why I say y'all got to really look at that Obama. Obama looked like a woman with a suit. Joe Biden looks like Ellen DeGeneres. That's why I said, don't take that shit serious. They switch out genders. They will. They just clone you and switch out your gender and kill the old you. So have you seen Michelle Obama's pictures with her, Michelle or Michael with Obama with a little afro? You seen that picture?
Yeah.
They was on the college campus. Michelle Obama was looking like damn Jesse Johnson or some shit.
So Jeffrey Epstein is probably Jennifer Epstein now, huh?
Damn.
Yeah. Shit, they all switch out genders. Hell, Obama look like a damn Lisa Ray with a little afro. This shit, they switch them out. That's all they do.
Yeah.
They take a regular civilian and make them into something of the opposite. Even when you look at entertainment industry is a devil's playground.
Yep.
It's a, like, I'm going to tell you something. It's hard for me to look at a damn movie nowadays. I can't, because I'm like, the mom looks like a man.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them. Shirley Temple looks like a little white boy with a wig. I refuse to take this shit seriously anymore.
Yeah, I refuse
to.
Everybody got to wonder. Everybody like Stevie Wonder. We all wondering around this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Who is fucking real? Yeah. I just had to share that with
all.
Y'all, brothers. What is it, brother?
Yeah, I'm keeping them all at arm's length. I don't trust none of them.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I saw that. I was like, oh, hell. It was something on Natural News. I was looking at Natural News. That's how I found it. I was looking at Natural News, and somehow that thing, one of the other sites popped up, and then that thing popped up. I was like, oh, I got to send that to them. But I saw that. I got to finish listening to that shit there. I got to see what they saying on that one. But I do remember them talking about underground tunnels and stuff, even going back to JFK. Yep. Sneaking Marilyn Monroe in, sneaking all them prostitutes in the White House.
Didn't they have underground tunnels in New York underneath the synagogue? You remember that recently?
Yep. Hell, I think it's New York. Remember they had a documentary, man. You could go on YouTube, look at underground cities.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chicago has them, New York. Yeah, underground cities.
Harry Tubman said the Underground Railroad.
Yep. Yeah, but now they got real underground. Cities really under the damn ground for real.
Hell yeah. And you know what's fucked up? Is the motherfucker you call your homeboy or your brother or your cousin. Them motherfuckers know all about it. They immersed in that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
It's just rampant, you know. I just don't trust. I don't fuck with nobody like that.
Yes, sir.
Yep. I told my wife, if I go down, I'm taking a whole lot of motherfuckers with me. If I'm innocent, I'm taking a whole lot of motherfuckers with me.
I'm taking everybody with
you. Oh yeah. Now, if I'm guilty, I'll be like, if I'm guilty, I'll be like, yeah, you caught me. But if I'm innocent. Hey, you fucking with me? Oh, no. My dad used to always say, shit, when I'm right, you got to fight.
Hey, you'll be up in court like Nino Brown. But it was Kareem Akbar.
I ain't gonna make it to court. Yeah. All right, Dave. Well, look, I got to get up early myself. It's been real, brother. I appreciate the lesson. Shabbat Shalom,
brother.
Yes, sir. All right.